Blog Talk Radio.
All my ladies in the club with their own money now. Grab your girls and tell them you can get you from me. Say, oh, if you don't need a hitter for nothing, say, oh.
She spin on the tip like she cursed the top. She wasn't a freak, least at first she not. She got a thing for thigh highs and Bergen crop. She pick up strands of long hair, she search to drop. She don't do burger spots, she like to splurge a lot. And if the twerking stop, it's cause the merchant drop. And you'll never catch my chick in a thirsty spot. Though she ain't king of diamonds, it don't mean that she ain't worth a lot.
All my ladies in the club with their own money now. Grab your girls and tell them he ain't getting shit from me. Say, oh, need a hitter for nothing, say, oh.
Treat it like a treat it. He don't touch it like I touch it. He don't beat it like I beat it. He don't see it like I see it. Eat it like I eat it. Leave it like I leave it. Cause really he don't need it like I need it. The chick that bad, she need her own bottle. She need her own space. She need her own ace. She need her own grave. She need her own place. She can't keep sharing me. She need her own mace. Come on.
All my ladies in the club with their own money now. Grab your girls and tell them he ain't getting shit from me. Say, oh. Need a hitter for nothing, say, oh.
Welcome to the church, volume 2, exclusive 213. Got my nephew Nate Dogg in the house. Nate Dogg, holla at him, where you at?
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a sad girl thing. Think about how she got her heart broke. People reaching for stars. I just want me something natural. When you're alone, it gets mighty cold. Don't act as if you did not know. She let me play with her heart. I'm working late, I said I'll soon be home. All the while the girl was on her phone. Let me tell you what she's crying for.
Why?
Cause I'm fly,
yeah, he's super fly.
Nate Dogg,
oh, oh, I'm fly, yeah.
Yeah, you know he's super fly, but me, I'm super duper, and I'm super duper fly.
Fly.
I be the greatest, I know you waited this, and I wanted this to be a labyrinth and so strenuous. Then you just slide by and quiz a, you want another piss a. Is that the way that you gon' for his a? I know you're feeling all hurt inside, but won't you talk to a player? Let me help out your pride. I'm like a counselor, a pastor, a priest, or a psychologist, a shrink on a freak peak. My technique, I wear mink skater boots, and I'm the rip that gets the loot, and I ain't afraid to shoot, and I love to toot-toot. Beat deep as I slide up the street. I'm from the LBC, and I don't know what y'all done heard about me, but I'm a CRIP with some PIMP too. I'm a real pimp player from the 213 crew. Now look here, boo, if you gon' bang or hang with the dog, you best to get in. Holla at her, Nate Dogg.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a sad girl bang. Bang up.
Just hold on.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Welcome to Thor Radio Network. We're back. Today is August the 5th, the month of awe. For those of you that don't know, when you break down the word August and its etymology meaning, all means gold. AU means gold. And coincidentally, the color of a lion is gold. Meaning the Lion of Judah is gold in color. I want to welcome you to Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Thor Radio Ministry. Indeed, when we have the opportunity to come together in common unity, in other words, community, we definitely bring you this information and this show in the spirit of ministry. One indication of that is that you were able to tune in, and there was no charge. And even during our show and after, we don't pass around a plate or a bucket. In fact, we don't solicit donations at all. So this is why we deem this show, at least this portion of it, as ministry. I want to welcome you to today. We had a very short vacation. Really wasn't a vacation at all. But I want to say that we received so many emails and phone calls. Some asking and some demanding that we return. And out of the love that we have for our community, for the people, we decided to put our personal business lives to the side and come back this Tuesday to do ministry. First and foremost, I like to give all of my praises and honors to the Most High, the Creator, for all his many blessings that he has showered and bestowed upon me daily, hourly. I give him thanks because with him I am everything, and without him I am absolutely nothing. I'm perfectly aware of that. And when I come into a ministerial environment such as Thor Ministry, I'm always conscious of that fact. Many of the things that I'm able to bring to you and we are able to bring to you here at Thor goes beyond what I thought my personal capabilities were, having tolerance for such a huge audience and the different personalities and thought processes of people that listen to our show, having the patience and continued will to try to give the people some of what we perceive as truth in the midst of such deception. So in my personal life, I may have somewhat of a different personality or perspective. But when we come here at Thor Ministry, we tend to want to fall in line with doing our ministerial duties. And I think thus far most of you agree that we're doing that, although there may be a few that may not think so. So I want to thank all of you that sent the emails, the support. And the blessings and the many, 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 many comments. About how grateful you are for what we do here. Those emails and communications are worth its weight in awe in gold. And since we are in the month of gold, I think it will be timely to address those deposits y'all have made to Thor. We have a pretty good show lined up for you. As all of you know, I really don't try to plan the shows. I'll be honest with you and share with you some inside information. My lovely staff of Thorines cornered me and told me that I need to be leashed. For all intents and purposes. So they've caged the lion and they've only allowed me a certain amount of time to roam my jungle. I had an issue with that at first. Because as y'all know, it's hard to cage the lion, but they told me that they got too many complaints that I was, roaring too much and saying too much. Not that it was bad, but that I was doing too much. And that I needed to be curbed into a window of time. And back in the cage I go. So this is why we have reduced the amount of time on the show to 2 hours, give or take. We're going to try to give you as much information as we can, stay on topic, address your questions, talk about the topic of the day, allow me a 30-minute window to discuss whatever I deem necessary. There was some bullying involved. I have some tough, strong women on the Thor team, and although they are pleasant on the show, they are serious women behind the curtain. So they gave me a program and they asked me to follow the program. I'm struggling right now because I like to do what I want to do and go where I want to go, but I just don't want to get beat anymore. So what I like to do is I like to deviate a little bit because I have a topic that I want to bring to you and discuss some great news and great things that is going on. And I like to discuss with you why we cut the vacation short, or at least some of the reasons why. And then we're going to go to the caller line at 657-383-0332. I know there's a lot of questions out there. We understand that people are in the trenches with dealing with different types of oppression, mainly economic, some of it mental, some of it emotional. But we want to definitely kind of address any concerns that might be out there, any questions as it relates to your debt issues. Layla, Lori, and Rudy are here. I want to bring in, before I go any further, someone that all of y'all have been used to listening to and hearing. And she is somebody that crossed over from the other network that I was at. When I met her there, she made significant deposits of awe to me personally and treated me as if I was her son. As everybody can see, I love to have knowledge and wisdom around me. I love to have people that will keep me in my lane and critique me when needed, support me throughout any of those previous mentioned scenarios, but I don't mind having power around me. And this person was foremost, probably the most powerful mother figures I've met, in addition to the mother Rudy that is here. And she, in the creation stages of Thor, she was able to just provide me with some high power fuel. And you know, with a lion, you just can't give a lion kibbles and bits. You gotta give him some real meat. And this mother was able to do that, and I love her to death. I hadn't talked to her for a while, just caught up in everything that I'm doing and all the different directions that Thor has taken us. And I called her up, and my team said, you better call her, see how she's doing. I always send my love through others to her, and so she knows I'm always thinking about her, and she's always returning, reciprocating her love, and that she's always petitioning the Creator for my strength and endurance. But I'm going to bring in the Yama and welcome her back to Thor. She is the original mother of Thor. We have Mother Rudy here. They're both mothers, but Yama is the original mother. She blessed the house once it opened. And she's always going to be the mother of Thor Ministry. So Yama, are you there? 772-8574?
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yes, I am. I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. I've always been here.
Indeed. I called the Yama yesterday, and, you know, I was talking to her. I hadn't talked to her probably in about a month, and it's just really crazy how, you know, Yama can put that fuel in you that just, when you're depleted or somewhat riding on a half a tank, and she just threw some heavy blocks of gold into that chest, and I'm just like, wow. My chest is poked back out. We talked about a variety of things that goes on, you know, in our individual lives and, you know, in our missions, and it was just unbelievable, some of the insight and some of the just real words coming from a mother may do for you, and how it always gauges you and They're always that, her and Rudy's always that thermostat to make sure you're at the right temperature at the right time, even if you think your temperature is high. They're always able to tell you now you right where you need to be. So Yama, tell the family how you've been, how everything is going, and just do your Yama thing.
Yes, shalom, shalom, shalom. Everything be well. Everything be well with Thor Ministry. Restoration is coming to all. And I had a learning experience that if you're on the path that the Creator's put you on and thoughts come to your mind and you think that that's the right way to go, well, if you're on the path that the Creator's put you on, you're not going anywhere. You're going to do exactly what He wants you to do. That's to give truth. One thing about C. Sharif, when I met him, I knew I could trust him. Because the reason why I knew I could trust him, because he was giving me truth. There was no deception. There was no lawlessness. There was no wickedness going on. It was truth that he was giving. And one thing about truth, when you receive truth, then you can trust the person that gives it. He can be trustworthy. He could be respected. And even though others may not agree with it, but if they're hungering and thirsting after truth, they will come around. Because that's the only thing that's going to elevate us and keep us with a sound mind so we can have clarity in our mind, so when our actions, whatever we hear, we respond to. Because we know there's no error in it. And that's where I want to be. And I know all people want to be there. So there'll be no error in your life. And the light that's come forth from you, others will be drawn to it. Now, some people will be drawn to it to take you down. But they don't realize darkness cannot take down light. The only thing darkness can do is to come to the light and be light. It's the only thing darkness can do. And Thor Ministry, to me, restoration. I've always been for restoration. If you can't be restored, then you cannot be used. You cannot serve. You cannot give. One thing about a person who is being restored, then they want to give out. And I find that in C. Sharif. I just do. Even before I knew that he was going to have his own ministry, Thor Ministry, I just found that I could trust him because he was giving me truth. And the spirit in me, the light in me, we were reflecting off of one another. See, when you find your reflection in other people, that's what you do. You reflect off one another, and it's nothing but increasing light. And that's what we want to be in every area in our life, in mind, in spirit and body. That's where we want to be, ever reflecting light and becoming one with the Creator. That's my mission on this earth. That's my mission. And those who I meet that we can reflect off of one another, then we become one. All to the esteem of the Creator, because He's the one that's made the path straight for us. He gets all the esteem. Whenever I meet someone and they say, I said, no, give the esteem to the Creator, because without Him, where would we be? What could we do? How could we move? And I learned about breathing. And I'm enjoying that breathing because it takes me to another level. You know, it's a sad thing when you get stuck on A, B, and C. Like Curtis Mayfield said, you got to move on up. And that's what we're about at Thor Ministry, moving on up to completion. And so I just... Sister, Rudy, Lori, and Layla, they were sent on the past so they can reflect, so the reflection can go out to others. And you don't come with a closed mind. You come with a mind that wants to elevate. You don't come in your own ways. You get rid of your ways, and you take the ways of light that the Creator gives you, and you move in it, and it'll work in every area of your life. You won't be lacking in anything. See, I found out a while ago when the Creator told me that he didn't need a bank account to create anything. So he doesn't need a bank account to supply all our needs, because he's the Creator. He has all. He be all. So, see, Sharif, I'm always connected with you because we reflect off of one another. It's the light of the Creator, Yah. It's the light. And so if you don't see my number, you got my number. Yes.
That's right. Yes. I'm powerful. I'm just as always, I yield to wisdom and tenure. And like fine wine, you're just amazing. You're powerful. Your words just resonate. And we do shine off each other. We do ping pong, and that's for sure. And that's how I gauge what I do, is based on the elders. I've always had an affinity and a certain place for the elders. Even at a young age, I used to talk to the elders. I always wanted to go through life at a pace where I didn't have to fall into the same holes others had fell in before me. It would make sense for me to take the map from somebody that already traveled that road. So I still to this day look for the elders to be my thermometer in everything that I do. And as long as I have the blessing from those like yourself and Rudy and others, then, you know, I'm fine with what I'm doing. I can easily be fine without it, but I'm blessed more with it.
Because
mm-hmm. in my heart, I know what I'm doing. And I know what I'm doing. I didn't intend to do. Sometimes I don't even want to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. But, you know, the Creator mm-hmm. just has me on that path. It's a path that I didn't try for. It's something that came to me. And I'm just going to mm-hmm. bring it like I bring it. I really don't care about the distractions or, you know, I understand that we're not pleasing everybody. But the thing I like to bring home for everybody is that this is free.
Yeah,
you understand? This comes free. You know, some of us go in environments that we pay a lot of money for and don't complain, but you'll come in a free environment and, you know, you want to complain. But that's not what we're here for. I have some truth to bring, and of course, it's always great to hear from you. I know you're always here. I mean, every time I do this show, you're the first thing comes to my mind. I know you're always here, and I know if you're not here, I always believe that you're here.
Yes.
And I know you're here spiritually with me, so we thank you. I think everybody's glad to hear from you, Lori and Layla, and even the mother Rudy had asked about you, and Layla told me yesterday, she said, don't show up to the show without having Yama on there. So I'm going to open up the line right quick, let them say hello, and then I'm going to get into my topic. And
yes,
we gonna go on. So Layla, Rudy and Lori, your line is open. So I want to say hello to Yama.
Of course. Good morning.
Yes,
and welcome
Yama.
Back. Although I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Rudy. Go ahead.
I was gonna say good morning and welcome back. We know you were there in spirit, but it's so nice to hear your pleasant voice. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yama, this is Layla.
Right.
I'm just so
yes.
an honor to have you here with us on the broadcast. We've missed you. We pray that you continue to be with us live. But we know that you've always been with us in spirit, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, your name has been called out, because we've not been hearing you on the line. So thank you
yes.
so much.
Yes. Well, I'm here. I'm always there, but you know, no buts. But word I don't like to use. Yes,
yes,
I'm always there. I'm always. I'm always. Because we be a spiritual people.
That's right.
Right. And see, we think it is all in the body. But when you get to another level, it's a spiritual person. Spiritual.
Yes, ma'am.
I can be right at home and be right there. Right. If you're all in a group together, I can be right in the midst. That's my belief.
That's right.
What I trust in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you were talking about breathing, you know, breathing, you know, takes you to another level. And one of the things, you know, I've been recently practicing yoga, and it teaches you how to breathe. And when you are breathing, it does take you to another level. And you get to experience more by breathing. You get to bring in positive energy in when you breathe in, and then you get to exhale negativity out when you breathe out. So,
yes.
You know, you talked about that. That's really amazing.
Yes. I wasn't aware of that until here recently, but I realized that when the Creator made man, He breathed in him. So
yes.
I said, breathing is very important. I got to grasp that. And that's what I've done.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, peace and blessings to you always. You know, I'm just so happy to speak with you, you know, word to word versus.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Light to light.
Yes, light to light. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Yama. I appreciate you. We love you indeed. And as you know, this is always home to you.
Yes, it is.
And it was definitely great to hear from you. So I'm going to have to go into Thor mode and bring the people.
Yes, see,
they hopefully came to hear. That's right.
Yes.
Love you. All right. Layla, if you would do me a favor, won't you just go ahead. As a matter of fact, let me let Rudy do word of the day, and then, Layla, I'm going to let you do the disclaimer, and then I'm going to go into my topic today.
All right. We'll see.
Fantastic. Hello and happy day. Happy Tuesday. The dawning of a new day. As I approach this day, I could not help but think of the passage that says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. And many are perishing around us every day in this dead arena because of a lack of awareness, a lack of understanding, and a lack of verified information. Today is the dawning of a new day, which is usually referenced by the start of something innovative, TAN, like firsthand knowledge. For many of us, this is our new day, being given the opportunity so we can understand what has happened to us, what is happening to us, so we can control what is going to happen to us. In other words, so we can control our very own destiny. And I can think of no better way than being an informed consumer, armed up with sound and solid education based on the laws that protect us, and having firsthand knowledge to orchestrate and strategize our own moves. To illustrate my thoughts, think of a dog who vigorously chases a car, and then the car stops. The dog has not or cannot or did not orchestrate a strategy, a move. The dog did not have a plan. The dog tucks his tail and goes away. Do not let that be your outcome to a given situation where you do not have your next plan planned out because of a lack of education. There is no quick fix, no fill in the blank, no silver bullet. Just stop and think. How long did it take you to get in the particular situation you're in? How long have you been in it? And with the dawn of a new day, this day, one must think, how am I going to get out of it on track, back on the right road, to get back with my life? You can start today with the dawn of your new day by getting an education here at Thor. Get the knowledge, knowing that the knowledge is power. But you cannot stop there. You must then apply that knowledge so that the knowledge you have obtained here at Thor becomes powerful in your life, so that you will be no longer baffled or confused with BS given by others, but rather you will be dazzled and amazed with your own brilliance. Happy day.
Thank you. Powerful. Thank you. Love powerful. That.
Love that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother Rudy. Power. You know, I must highlight to those of you that don't know, being that Thor is a ministry and a movement, you would think one must have a minister on staff. And who you just heard from was a minister ordained and licensed to minister. Okay? Wanted to highlight that. In order to do ministry, I think there needs to be a minister around somewhere. Point out that who you just heard from, and every time Thor opens, is a licensed, ordained minister. Layla, go ahead and do our disclaimer.
All right.
Let me get this hammer out. Right.
Yes. Thor's disclaimer. Please, Thor family, please realize that the information discussed on this show is not and will not be considered legal advice. There are no attorneys, bar members, or any other private legal groups associated with this broadcast. Listeners are informed to thoroughly research the information provided on this show prior to taking action. Back to you, Brother Sharif.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Today's topic, if y'all noticed today's show topic, it was entitled or styled, "Who is your advocate and what is his works?" Got to think about that for a minute. Who's your advocate and what is his works? You know, we consider ourselves here at Thor a consumer advocacy group. And we think we fit that mode. In definition, an advocate is a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. A person who argues for or supports a cause or a policy, or a person who works for a cause or a group. But we feel that Thor definitely is one of the voices that advocates for the people based on education and information. I'll just tell y'all, you know, our show was based on many things we discuss is about debt. Many of you have debt that entails property. Property is very dynamic and fluid. There's many definitions of property. Your property is your income. Your property is your children. Your property is your home. So in essence, you can say one of the purposes of Thor is to teach you or demonstrate to you ways based on our beliefs and experiences and opinions on how one should protect their property. As I just explained, property can be personal, it could be real, it can be intellectual. Regardless of any one of those meanings, what we advocate is for you to protect your property at all costs. And when infringed upon by either a debt collector or party, individual, corporation, whoever it is, it's not entitled to it, whether it's an attempt or they succeed in obtaining your property. We teach you how to go and obtain compensation for that. By the way, that's a constitutionally protected right, not a privilege. Nor is it a privilege for anybody to obtain your property, use it, steal it, take it by deceptive means, under the cloak of any color of law, because of course there is no law saying somebody can take your property. So it would have to be under the color of some law, or in some instances you have to understand it might be under the color of some religion or some group theory or some belief system. We have to include that. But we try to provide a means for everybody that listens and for those members legally just in case somebody was to take your property or attempt to take your property without just compensation. So I say that to make the point that I want everybody to understand that we're not an underground group. We're not a gray market ministry or group or association or any of those things. We are above ground. And Thor only attempts to share with you things that are perfectly, in our opinion, legal to do. We don't bring you anything questionable. We feel the information we bring is totally safe, as long as you understand it, apply it, do your own research, gain a full understanding of what you're doing. We know, you know, and I believe in the several months we've been here, you understand that people have been successful at using the information, not abusing the information, but using the information with the right goal, with the right intent, with the right spirit, which is one of the things we talk about. When you come to this show, when you come to Thor, there is no charge. Okay? We provide other private webinars and seminars, of course. But that is teaching something that we either experience or believe in or we have knowledge of. And there's nothing wrong with anybody being compensated for the work that they do. No different if there's anything wrong if we charge you to come on this show. Many of you are in other environments and have a membership in other things, other groups that you pay for, and you have no problem paying for it. So I want everybody to know that we're not afraid to talk compensation around here, because we're not on here talking about anything else but economics. I want to make that clear. We're not talking about history. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about anything other than economics. But I want everybody to know that just because we freely give this information out does not mean it doesn't have value. Because everybody on this call, especially myself, takes out of their personal time to be here and bring you that information. And I can appreciate the fact that everybody don't like the way it's brought, and sometimes they don't like what it's said and how it's said or how it's structured, but gonna be honest with you, with all due respect, I don't care. I'm not here to please everybody. I'm not trying to please everybody. I'm trying to help. And let's talk about the word help. Help is synonymously used with free. We provide some services, webinars and seminars, things of that nature. Those are services. Those are compensated related activities. But this show and all the shows that were here were free. Doesn't mean that it wasn't still our property. I'll give you an example. Pepsi can go out and do a festival and give out crates and bottles of Pepsi. That doesn't mean it's not still Pepsi's product. Doesn't mean you can take the label off that bottle and put your name on it when it's not your product. So just because Thor, in the name of ministry, puts out information, we put out that information for the people. Because we know from surveying different areas of our individual lives and the lives of the people that we talk to, that there is a significant void in many facets of life, be it occupationally, be it in certain religious groups. There's not enough education on this serious issue of debt. And I don't care who disagrees with that. I'm telling you what I know personally. Okay? So we focus on trying to bring things that are necessary, that may be helpful for the people. And I put emphasis on the people to be enlightened, to be educated, to gain increase from our experiences and our knowledge. But although we do that, that's still our property, still our time, that's still our effort. And there's a consensus out there that other people wants to take things from you and make it theirs. There's an ignorance out there that people think that they can take from others what don't belong to them, obviously. That consensus is very real because that's why we're here. Debt collectors and other entities taking what doesn't belong to them. But there's also people amongst you that take things from others that don't belong to them. Some of these people are even more oppressive and abusive than the very debt collectors we talk about. And why is this important? This is important because as we are trying to elevate the people and do it in a ministerial capacity, there are still people right sitting next to you, right here in our face, that is working against us, not as an advocate, but an adversary. In the most clumsy way, devising a plan and to take information that we freely give and bottle it up for their own greed purposes. And that is absolutely sickening. Telling how the people that complain about oppression and being oppressed, and they blame it on a variety of people. It can be a certain culture or ethnicity or It can be the government or corporations. You hear it all the time. They build groups on that theory. And it always bothers me when you see those same people forge those complaints are the same ones that are too coward to go and retrieve back or obtain back the power from the abuser. Instead, they turn on each other or turn on you and abuse you. All the while still having you look over there and say somebody else is the abuser. I'm going to do a show next week. And it's going to be one of the shows that needs to be done. Because I have no problem with anybody getting the information they need from anywhere they need to get it from, including here. We don't own anyone on this call. We don't screen anyone on this call. We don't care who comes to this call. We hope that you get something out of the call or something that you can use. If you don't, we just, that's your choice. We don't have any problem with the people coming together to share the information amongst themselves. The law doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you, me as an individual, not me as a ministry. It's your law. Our time and information and intellectual property or other belongs to every last one of you. Your time that you put in at your job is your property. You're being compensated for that. If you have a business, the time you put into your product, you should be compensated for that. But when you have the audacity of some people, they can come to an environment where we are by and large educating people on protecting themselves and their property, where they somehow think that they can come and steal from the very people in this environment or oppress the very people in this environment. That's just not going to be tolerated. We're not, as a collective, a religious society. We're very spiritual. So we don't have that distraction. We don't wear those religious sunglasses, and we're not passive around here. As you can see, I'm very passionate, and so are those around me. So we're not easily manipulated. We're not pushovers. We, by and large, from the emails I get, people tell me I'm pretty intimidating to some extent, though I disagree. I just stand for what I believe in and stand for what I know. And I try to portray the image or try to pass on to you that same courage and confidence to be able to deal with some pretty strong oppressors that may use information that you're not fully aware of. So we try to bring it to you strong because we want you to deliver it strong. So if we would do that for you, what do you think we would do for ourselves when someone tries to steal property from you or anybody else in this environment? Or when we know of people that's trying to enslave you while thinking they're being hidden underneath the mask of religion or concern or any other reason why they think they can do things to you. Some of y'all think it's not important. Some of y'all think we spend a lot of time focusing on gurus or leaders. We don't. I don't think y'all are privy to the type of information, and I don't think y'all understand how many people contact Rudy as a minister and how many people she has seen being flushed down the toilet, meeting destruction. From some of these people that are around here destroying you. We talk about every oppressor, be it debt collector or otherwise. And we're going to continue to do that. We don't care who it is. We're not going to stand by and let you hit a brick wall. And some of you that listen, you've hit it five times. We understand. We understand you want to say just leave it alone, but we have people that come to us and depend on us and everybody on this panel for some truth or for some direction. Most of y'all may not know that, but I'm telling you that. Also, we get the influx of destruction that people have suffered by doing some of the things that are out there. We're going to continue to throw out the warning. It's up to you if you heed it. The Creator put me out here to throw a warning for anything I may see. I don't go looking for it. It comes here. Trust me, it comes to me. And time has to be spent on those things because you can learn everything you need to learn here, but you go ahead and follow one of these oppressors and you wind up forfeiting everything you might have learned that might have helped you. And we're not the world savers. I'm not trying to save everybody. I'm just doing my part. That's it. It's your choice. And we understand some of you are going to make choices that are interesting to you. We're not forcing it. We're not forcing it down your throat. You don't have to see anything Thor says. But for those that do, and there's many of you that depends on myself and everybody on this panel and others that come here, we do things in the spirit of truth. And although we try to take care of the people that is within our group or that listens to our group, we have to be mindful of people that are right here. Breeding deception and trying to find ways to keep you in the dark and in the dungeon of your economic situation or place you further in an economic oppressive state. Now, we don't go over anybody else's house and start anything or render any opinions over there. We respect everybody's environment. Everybody has a right to. We're not forcing ourselves in anybody's house. We're not forcing anybody to be here. But I'll be damned if you come in here and think you're going to do what you want to do with our property for the love of money. It ain't gonna happen. No different than you go to an event and there's a presumption of safety while you're at that event. There should be the presumption of safety when you come to Thor that you're not going to be oppressed by people that are allowed to be in here, and we know about it and do nothing about it. That is not going to be allowed to happen. And I'm not the one to play with about that. So, next Tuesday, we'll be doing a very interesting show, something that is going to help you, and something that will elevate you Because, again, we say it's not all about educating yourself as a consumer. You have to have the right spirit. And you have to elevate spiritually as well, or simultaneously while you're learning the laws that govern your commercial. You got to do it at the same time. Can't be angry when you don't know and still angry when you do know. Thank the Creator that you now know differently. And you're able to protect yourself. So, I'm not going to use today since we just came back. We're going to get into some information. I'm going to reserve next Tuesday for some more information about some things you need to avoid. I have some special people that will be coming to contribute to that show. There was a lot of people coming into this information for the first time. There's a lot of information out there. Some good, a lot of it not. It seems that the Creator is shifting the universe in a way to where the people are becoming more aware of a lot of things. Some of it is who you are and who you are not. Seems like our government officials are doing their part right now, the CFPB. They're cleaning up some things. They're doing their part to help you. We're doing our part to help you. You have to do your part to help yourself. But if you don't know, which is why a lot of these actions are after the fact, if some of you would have had advance warning to avoid certain things, think of where you would be. I had a talk with the mother the other day, Rudy, and she said, son, if I just knew half of this, like my whole situation would be different. If I would have avoided this and that and wasted so much time on this, you know, my situation would have been different. So we want to make sure here at Thor that we're just giving you some advance warning, which is what we do anyway, on things that we feel you should avoid like the plague. Communication and emails that we get are heart-wrenching. I don't care if the warning saves one person but annoys 50. That one person deserves the warning. Some of you are smart enough not to fall into certain situations, and some just don't know. Because as I told you, people wear many masks. Trust me, you're going to learn that. Debt collectors are wearing masks all the time. Servicer, non-bank servicer, mortgagee, creditor, lender, possessor, holder in due course, holder. These are masks. But then there's a mask of a different type. We're going to bring to the table, since they have the audacity to show their presence right in front of us. I'm going to stop there. I'm put back in the cage for now. But rest assured, next Tuesday is going to be a show that y'all do not want to miss. Layla.
Yes, sir. That was powerful. There was so much meat in what you just said, and I don't know if I got it all.
Well, you know, being that you said meat, I want to definitely I want to say something that my powerful mother said to me last night. And it was one of those Yama sayings. I said, you know, I had, and I'll share with everybody, because we're family around here. We don't, you know, we share successes and failures. And we share everything, which is why sometimes you have to share things with the people that other people may think is not necessary. We're not competing with anybody. Let me tell you something. Thor and Brother Shreve don't compete with anybody. The Creator gives me my lane. My lane is not determined by anybody. If it was, I wouldn't be here. And if I determine my own lane, I wouldn't be here, because there's many other things I like to do. So I don't care that people think we're competing with. I'm not competing with anybody, especially the likes of what I see out there. There is no competition, not for what I'm doing. So I was in my mind. I said, I had a listener email me and say that, man, I think you're too hard. I think you're putting the people down, man. You're putting them down, man. I'm like, that's incredible. Like, who are you speaking for? You said the people. Here we go. Somebody always speaking for somebody else. One person speaking for the people. Isn't that familiar? Yama says to me, she says, yeah, if you don't like what you hear, you eat the meat and spit out the bones. And I just fell out. Eat the meat and spit out the bones. I'm going to tell a lot of y'all, y'all might not like what you hear, or it might not be exactly what you want to hear at the right time. But again, this is free. And you can eat the meat and spit out the bones. And that's what a smart person to do. I have a comment in the chat from Sister Allen. She says, I may not understand or agree with everything, but I do enjoy the information you have given. I can respect that. Our people think that they got to agree with everything we do. This is not, I keep telling y'all, this is not a religious edifice in here. We're not doing politics over here. I'm not running for office. We're not doing any of that. Like, I don't agree with anything or everything anybody does. I don't agree with some of the questions that come in here. But we deal with it because that's life. And life is going to be about things, doing things that we don't want to do. And one of those things is many times this show. So hopefully everybody takes us in the spirit. We give you us. And hopefully you're able to eat some meat and maybe spit out one or two bones, or maybe several bones. It all depends. But nonetheless, somebody is being blessed by the information. That I know for a fact. That's not me saying it. Nothing I've said is me saying it. That's what you say. That's what the people say. Those are the emails that I get. I get more support than complaints. I get very few complaints. You know, but we love all in all. We get past that. We move on. We try to bring the information, and we try to do what I have to do. But sometimes in our journey, we have to stop and see who's on the bus, or who's trying to take down the bus, or who thinks they're smart enough to take down the bus or the driver. The people are always going to figure it out. You want to be real smart, come up against the Lion of Judah. I'm just telling you. You can't teach it if you don't live it. it's just funny. I always refer Layla and Rudy to that book, and you know, I'm real kind of, you know, on that Bible, you know, just my mindset. I gotta go with hearsay versus fact. I can't really testify to none of it, but it's so funny how you can just see all of these type of behaviors in that historical book dating back thousands of years. It just blows my mind that book has so much of what we're experiencing now. It makes you wonder whether sometimes you're tempted to say that book is a fact and swear to it in an affidavit. But let's go on. Let's talk about some news. Let's give some people some meat. What's going on out there in the news world? You have some topics. I'm going to get back in the cage. I don't want to get beat up saying that I'm doing too much. I'm saving everything for Tuesday. Tuesday's going to be a great show. You're going to hear from some people. You're going to hear some testimonials. And they're going to be testimonies of all calibers. You're going to hear some people that's had success doing a lot of things. And you're going to hear from some people that's met destruction at the hands of some others. And we're going to put those things out there so you can know that it's not Thor that's creating those things or going to look for those things. Those are things that come to us. And we don't talk about it as much as we receive it, trust me. But so you can hear it in somebody else's words and experiences, we're going to bring you a pretty good show and let you decide. Really, some of y'all are going to realize that some of the debt collectors are a lot nicer than some people around you. But at any rate, what's the topic, ladies?
Well, first of all, I was going to say that's going to be so stortastic. I'm sitting here writing down some words that I heard you
speak. Stortastic.
Yes, that's going to be stortastic. I don't know, Brother Sharif, before we go into the news, if we have any callers in the caller line that want to ask a question or make a comment. But what I was going to say that what I'd like to put out there is if you have a word that you can think of that has Thor in it that we could use, like I came up with like Thortastic, or that was Thorticulous. Think of a word with Thor and send it to debtshow@yahoo.com. So if you find us using a word with Thor, we might have a little surprise for you. I just want to throw that out there. So that's debtshow@yahoo.com. The call line is 657-383-0332. Brother Shoup, do you see anybody in the line right now? Or should we just go to the news?
I know we're light on the line, but we're going to go into our news, and then we'll come back to the line. I see a couple. No. We got one, but let's get into the topic. We'll swing up over there and get to the question.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're here at Thor's Hammer Time News Hour, and one of the articles that we want to go ahead and just highlight for you guys is the fact that we keep hearing and learning. Oh, I don't know. Can you hear me clearly? I don't know what that background noise is.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great. That there are, you know, the companies are being sued by the Attorney General, the Justice of the Department of Justice, all of them, the corporations and the governmental agencies are coming against these institutions and filing suit. So we have one, Bank of America raises a settlement offer for toxic mortgage deals to $7 billion cash. The Justice of the Peace wants $10 billion. So they're negotiating back and forth on how much money Bank of America is going to be paying for this particular settlement. So it says Bank of America and federal prosecutors have accelerated their negotiations to resolve an investigation into the bank's sale of troubled mortgage securities before the financial crisis. So we know that happened back in, 2007-08, right? The two sides remain far apart on crucial issues, and the settlement remain elusive late Wednesday. So that was, last week. This was reported on August 1st. This is current news, by the way. So here's what I want to get to in this particular article. It says, heading into the meeting, the Justice Department was demanding roughly $17 billion, billion with a B, to settle the case. It's more than $10 billion in the form of cash, penalty, and the rest of the so-called soft dollar payments to help struggling homeowners. So basically what they're saying is they want $17 billion for the case, $10 billion in penalties, right? So they really want to pocket $10 billion and then use the remaining $7 billion just for the struggling homeowners. Okay, I mean, so they're going to want to keep the bulk. They're wanting to keep the bulk of it in their pockets. So right now, the $17 billion is where they really want, but right now they're at a total of $14 billion in their negotiations. So the point of that, and I just want to hear what, you know, what anyone else on the panel has to say, is the fact that they really have their own interests in mind. It's a feel-good article to make us feel like they're doing something good and grand. But at the end of the day, that $7 billion to be trickled down to a lot of people will be nothing. And before I go forward, I just received myself personally, I received a notification last week that I am part of a class action suit with a credit card company. And the attorneys are saying that it's like $39 billion of is what this case will be worth to the attorneys, and of which, if I were to participate in the class action suit, my portion personally could range anywhere from $20 to $40. You guys get, you see the gist of where we're coming from? What this is talking about?
Did you say 40? You said 40,000.
No, I said 40. I said $40 billion case, of which
I got that part. But your portion will be what? $40,000, right?
No. Not even.
You said $40, and you have that in writing.
$20 to $40. Less than $100. $20 to $40.
You know, the tricky thing about that is that, you know, you get those letters, and you know, I know a lot of people talk about administrative process, and I want everybody to know that style it different, or we may name it different, but there is, as some people frame it, an administrative type of communication you can have with someone, and what Layla is demonstrating to you is one of them, because what they do is they'll send a letter out, okay, and they'll say, you're a part of this class action lawsuit. Well, they're telling you you're a part of it. But then somewhere within the letter, I'm hoping that you see this language, it should be some section in there whereby they state you can opt out by sending us a letter saying you don't want to be a part of it. So
yeah,
there's a presumption, an assumption, or form of acquiescence that if you don't let us know you want to be a part of this class action, you're going to be a part of it. So you can always opt out of those for everybody out there to know. Nobody can put you in a lawsuit and make you one of their litigants without your permission. But if you do not answer, no different than if you sent out a notice of dispute or any other communication that requires a response and they do not answer, there's a presumption that you agree. Let's think about it in terms of a debt collector. They're sending you a notice saying, unless you dispute this notice within 30 days, in other words, they're telling you your silence, we're going to take that as a presumption that you agree with the debt, and we're going to proceed within the confines of law and whatever that law allows us to do to satisfy collection of the debt. So I've always told people that class actions, mass actions and class actions are different, but mass actions, by and large, only enrich the attorneys.
Yeah.
$20 to $40.
Yeah,
really.
That's what I said. Yeah, so I read that. I'm thinking, there's no way. I am not, I mean, I will opt out of this because that means that I potentially have a case on my own that I can bring forward to award myself. And that's the whole premise for why I read this particular article and bring up the letter that I received, because that's what Thor does. Thor is aiming to educate all of us so that we have the power to be able to take on matters like this on our own and enrich ourselves. Because, you know, what am I going to do with $20 to $40? It's a $40 billion case. What am I going to do with $20 to $40 if I've been wronged?
Talking about oppressors.
May I interject a thought here?
Sure.
You sure may, Mother. Okay,
this is where, in reference to what I spoke about this morning, understanding how to orchestrate and strategize. If you have been notified that you're part of a class action or anything that has come to the forefront where the oppressors have been caught with their hands in a cookie jar, at this point you should be able to have the wherewithal from your education here to say, okay, like you said, $40, it simply says that you're entitled to much more. But unless you know how to go get it, you will not get it. And that's what you're taught here, how to go get that which belongs to you.
So let me translate to what Mother is saying. Let's go into Thor mode. And I got a suggestion for a Thor word from our sister Allen in the chat. And she has a word she'd like to offer, and that's Thortabulous.
Awesome.
I like that.
Love it.
I like that. But let me say this. Let's put the hammer in our hand and let's use Thor thinking. So you receive a letter, Layla, and you're saying, hey, you can be part of this class action against a merchant or a corporation or a creditor or whoever it is. And there's the overwhelming presumption that they may have done something in violation of you, a consumer. They may have put some erroneous charges on your credit card, or they may have charged you a fee that they wasn't supposed to. So what do you automatically think when you see $20 to $40? Or even if you saw $20,000 to $40,000, what we're trying to teach you to do here at Thor is to start thinking about self. And the first thing you'll say is, if it's worth $20,000 or $40,000 to somebody else, what is it really worth to me? See, you have people that will come, and I seen a flea market the other day, and I seen a weight bench that I knew was a good weight bench. Like, they don't even make them anymore. And I said, I got to get that weight bench. Like, how much you want for that? $50, you don't know what that is worth. Okay, so you got that letter and you're saying $20 to $40, let me look inside of my, let me open up my commercial Bibles, the FDCPA, the FCRA, or my state consumer protection laws, and let me see if I can dig up who this is, what this case is about, pull up the complaint, and see what they're saying, and see where my private right of action lies, where I can go get my own money. See, Thor tried to teach you to be independent, self-sufficient, self-empowered, to not depend on anybody else. If we don't do anything else, we always try to tell you to think for yourself. $20 to $40? No. How about I can go in there under FCRA violation and a FDCPA violation, maybe send them a letter and be like, can you provide validation or verification? And if they don't take out that dollar, which that computer is not going to do, then what do you have? You have your own case. And it's going to be worth far more than $20 or $40. But that's just me thinking.
You're right on. Right on. That's exactly
interesting.
How I thought of it. Yep. So
what else we have?
Okay, so what else do we have? Okay, the Justice of the Department of Justice subpoenas GM over subprime auto loans.
Mm. Now, Mother, I think you and I spoke to someone a couple of days ago that had a issue with a GM type situation, and I believe they went through bankruptcy, and I don't think they came out. I don't think they reemerged. So, you know, this type of information is what we try to bring to the people to kind of get you to piggyback or be informed by what the government is saying that others have done. And you can go do your own individual research and find out where you might have a private right of action pursuant to the consumer protection laws to bring a similar action on your own, okay? Now, I won't discuss the fact that if you are an experienced consumer or if you have some education and extensive litigation, you would also be able to intervene in a CFPB case. We're not going to get into that. But, you know, Layla, you can decide to be a part of that class action, or you can say, you know what, my name is worth more than $20 or $40.
Yep.
You can go on and I'm going to opt out of you making me a part of that litigation. That's okay. Thanks for the information, though. The letter made me go to Thor and see where I may have some. What is it about, Layla, by the way? Let me ask that.
It's a credit card debt, and it's an FTCPA.
Oh, beautiful.
And it is related to the fact that they've called cell phones over a certain period of time or in a certain time frame for which they violated the FTCPA.
Hmm. So did you receive any phone calls or maybe some numbers that you didn't recognize, maybe did not know it was that particular outfit calling?
I mean, I would have to go back through my records. With a time period from, I want to say, either 2008, 2009 to 2012, 2013 range. So I have to go back and see and maybe call the numbers and or, you know, look them numbers up to see the source of the call and be able to now look for my private right of action to go in for the case. So that's one of the things that I have not done yet. But the thought processes that you're talking about are exactly what I thought based on what I've learned with my association with Thor. And so I just, you know, that's the homework that I have to do, and, you know, I've got my homework to do, but nonetheless.
Well, I'm going to bring in Brother Maynard because I believe – my memory serves me right, and then I'm going to bring in Brother Amon. He's going to have a couple of things to say. I think he had some recent activity in his case. But, Brother Maynard, I believe you shared with me a while ago that you went to an attorney seminar for a weekend, and they were and it was about a $4,000 or $5,000 event, and it was a TCPA seminar given by an attorney. And you said you were flabbergasted because this attorney was doing, like, class action type thing. Like, he was going after telemarketers that was doing, like, 5,000 calls. I mean, he said this attorney was like, I don't even pick up a case unless it's about a half a million dollars. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. He seasons it, you know. He'll let those calls come in. You know, and he was, a matter of fact, he was very upset about, you know, people going out for small chump money, he calls it, you know. He says, you got to be, you know, if you're going to do it right. You know, he was very upset about these attorneys going off for small money. So,
But I think you told me, Maynard, that he was representing more so corporations, right? So, like, say, you know, like Walmart was getting 100 faxes a day from this corporation or, you know, getting 100 phone calls a day on their business line. So he was doing businesses mostly, right?
No. He was doing consumer. He was doing consumer and consumer TCPA calls. And that's the kind of money that he was getting, you know, 250, 350, 400, 500,000.
That's what I'm talking
about. On TCP.
Now, none of you are
going to
have that amount of calls, but it's good that this attorney was, I mean, you know, that kind of money on phone calls. I keep telling y'all, these are not human beings that are running these facilities. Y'all know everything is just about, if they had the opportunity to fire every human being, I believe they would, and let the machines run the world. And you know those machines is going to make mistakes.
That's
so
right.
That would be a raise for me. I'll just be like, I'm going to sit back and wait for that robot to send me the wrong letter, which is what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. So you said that guy said he don't take a case under $250,000. Didn't he say something like that? Or
That's what he looks for. You know, he
wow.
That's what he looks for. It's just not worth
wow.
his time.
Wow. Man, that's a deposit into the Thor gallery. I got to think high. You know, you going to send one of Thor's members a class action letter talking about, yeah, at the end, in 2 years, probably, you're going to get $20 or $40. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no, we're going to do Thor research and figure out how we can get 20 or 30 grand if we have any of the same issues you're complaining about. You can best believe we're going to find it.
Yep.
I do have a question.
Appreciate you, Brother Maynard. I remember that about you, and, you know, there's some, you know, seminars out there. People are catching on to that TCPA.
Yeah,
and,
I do have a question,
appreciate
though.
Appreciate you sharing that. Sure.
I know you've often said that once the property is foreclosed on, you just move on. But if a property has been foreclosed on and there is an even though the property has been foreclosed on and there is an FDCPA violation, is it still res judicata?
No. No, because it wouldn't be res judicata. Because you're bringing a different claim other than the foreclosure. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying I didn't say you did a bad foreclosure, okay? I'm saying you did a bad debt collection, okay?
Right.
Res judicata is a claim preclusion, okay? It's a principle that you can't relitigate the same case twice.
Got
because
you.
It's already been judged on the merits. I'm not judging the foreclosure. That's a different law. I'm saying that you did a bad debt collection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's not that hasn't been adjudicated upon, whether you were a debt collector. We haven't addressed that. And you would find that answer more so, Brother Maynard, in your own situation where you went after the debt collector in district court under the Consumer Protection Law, the FDCPA, and he tried
mm-hmm.
to come in there and tell the judge, oh, this is res judicata, this is about a foreclosure case, and the judge, what did the judge say? That's not what he said. He said
right.
you're doing a debt collection. You
yeah,
understand what I'm saying? So that answer
mm-hmm.
just covers it all for you, so whenever you see it or you hear it, now you know. I mean, the judge sat right there and said that. That's not about a foreclosure. He's not talking about the foreclosure per se. He's saying you're a debt collector doing a debt collection, and somehow your behavior and conduct was in violation of the consumer protection law. So, no, that's not res judicata, brother.
Yeah, I think that was important for just not for me, but for others to understand. Mm-hmm.
Of course. That's all you're going to hear. This is about a bad foreclosure. No, I mean, I'm glad you admit the fact that you're doing a foreclosure. You're not a creditor. But, no, I mean, I'm talking about a debt and a debt collection. I'm talking about me being an A3 and you collecting on an A5 and you being an A6 and not an A4. That's all we're talking. I mean, I that's it. By all means, continue with what you're doing. Don't let me disturb you.
Okay. Beautiful.
All right. Appreciate you, brother. Let me go over here and see what Brother Amin got going on. Brother I. Brother Amin.
I will wait for him to come in. He must be on hold. But we're going to see what's going on with Brother Amon. I believe he might have some update on his debt collector. Let's, while we're doing that, let's go to caller line 910-8308. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Oh, I do. My question was as far as trying to figure out who owns the Remick if they had listed any foreclosure Fannie Mae. I'm not exactly who is the Remick Trust.
Okay, why don't you ask that question again? Who owns the Remick? Or you're saying,
well, who owns the Remick?
And then you mentioned
this was a past foreclosure, and I spoke to you last week about it, and you mentioned a quiet title. And I was trying to figure out, you had suggested that I go to the Fannie Mae website, and I typed in the property every way I could imagine, but it always came up. I could not find that particular loan with Fannie Mae. I've got a MIN number and a MERS MIN number. I didn't know if I could use that to try to figure out who is the Remick. And at one point when I contacted them, they sent me what appears to be, might be the Remick. It started out with about four numbers. It had like Fannie Mae, FMA, MBS, followed by four digits, and then followed by another four digits. And I'm trying to plug in, trying to find out if I could use that on the Internet without any.
Okay. Well, who owns the Remick is the investors. And multiple investors invest in Remicks, which is real estate investment conduit.
Okay.
So when you say who owned it, not one party, particular party owns it. It's owned by a group of people, a group of different corporations. They sell certificates on several levels, A, B, C, and D, lower trans, upper trans. Very complicated. You can receive an report if you go to the Securities and Exchange Commission,
SEC,
and you can see how that REMIC is performing. In my opinion, honestly, it doesn't matter who owns it. That's not really what you're searching for. I don't know what you're searching for, but if you search the Fannie Mae and the Freddie Mac, and they don't claim an interest in your loan. And you said they already foreclosed, correct?
Yeah, they already foreclosed, and you mentioned the quiet title, so I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, and the quiet title is something that you just don't jump off and do. How long ago did they foreclose?
I think it's closing in on about a year now where they actually purchased the property back. The servicer ended. The servicer came in saying that they were actually taking care of Fannie Mae's business and used Fannie Mae as far as for the foreclosure. And, of course, it's non-judicial here in North Carolina, so it went real quick. So then at that point, I appealed it, but, of course, they also gave the decision back again to Fannie Mae. So I was just looking into the quiet title because property hasn't sold from that servicer or Fannie Mae to anybody else yet.
So I think what's happened with yours is I believe they did a foreclosure, and the reason why Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac is coming up now because they probably purchased it allegedly at the foreclosure sale. So you're not going to find the information on their site because prior to that, they might not have claimed an interest in your property until it went to foreclosure, and then they bought it back after that point. Now, there's a report that you can obtain dealing with the Remick, and it was a result of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform that went on a couple of years ago. And that form is an ABS 15G. And it's a form that the Remick is required to provide, and usually you'll find it on the Securities and Exchange Commission. And it highlights and tells you
what is left in that trust in part. How much money? What's trading? What's there? What's not there? So it's a report they have to provide in light of the securitization issues, saying that lightly. That report should be on the site. And if you read that report, you'll see not particularly your loan because you won't see it, but you'll see whether that REMIC is still functioning. And you want to line that up with the time that your foreclosure took place and its name, and I think you'll find that maybe those dates don't line up. Okay, but it sounds like to me they did the foreclosure. It went to Fannie Mae. You sent the letter, and they said, look, we're servicing it for the new owner, which is Fannie or Freddie.
Well, they had claimed that after it was, you know, there was assignment after default. Of course, it's pretty much about a week before I got my first dunning letter from the alleged trustee.
Okay, so now you were talking post foreclosure in terms of Fannie Mae and the foreclosure already going through and them being the purchasing party of your property. Now you're talking about it was assigned while it was in default, and I can understand that. So I see where you're kind of commingling them, but you just got to do a little bit more research and find out who is who. From what you're telling me, I believe that Fannie Mae bought the property, so really, I mean, they purchased the property at the alleged foreclosure sale. So I think that's what they're saying, that, listen, I mean, the REMIC doesn't own it anymore. It was sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, whoever it was. I think if you do some research, I think you may find that the REMIC never owned it. Okay, there's a whole lot of education required to understand the dynamics of securitization. And I'll say this for the record. I don't see that securitization audits or providers are not applicable in some situations, because in some situations you are dealing with a creditor. Some people need securitization audits because they are dealing with a creditor. Not all loans are being pursued by debt collectors. Some of them are creditors. So if you're dealing with a creditor and you're in a true foreclosure situation, you may need some securitization information. And it may be very valuable to your case. Okay? But you have to know what your case entails. Okay? The signs is, was it a sign while I was in default? You have to look at your county recorder and obtain your documents and on a case-by-case basis, everybody case is different, determine where you're at. And if you indeed have a creditor in front of you, you may need to employ some of the services that are out there, which is securitization and things of that nature. So hopefully it answers your question. I know it's kind of complex, your situation, because you're post-foreclosure, so you're trying to find a way in. You got to do a little bit more information gathering and determine what route you want to take. You can take a couple of routes, but I'm cautious to tell you to take those routes unless you really have the understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it, which is why I always tell people to seek the assistance of competent counsel. And you find a good one, they can definitely help you acquire, if not your property back, if it's too late, then compensation for the loss of your property, if that be the case. All right? So hopefully that answers your question. Let me go to Brother Amin. Let me see if he's ready. Brother Amin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, peace.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Give me 1 second. I got a couple of comments I want to get in the chat, and then I'm going to get to you.
All right.
And see. Let me see. Attorney, I have.
trying to read the comment. Wait one second. Try to juggle both the chat and the call-in line so I can afford the people in the chat an opportunity to ask questions. Well, anyway, definitely want to say thank you to Zaya. He said, Brother Sharif, I am blessed. That person who you said was too hard on the people does not speak for me. You bring the truth, and yes, sometimes the truth, I guess, hurts. So we appreciate it. Tough man. Appreciate that from Brother Zaya. So, Brother Amen, you know, word got back to Thor that you causing some commotion out there with a big debt collector, and you had the audacity to go down to a court and issue some subpoenas from people that was on some assignments and other documents that, upon information and belief, you feel don't exist. You think the people was made up. Now, I don't know where you came up with that type of information or what investigations you did, but I heard the debt collector is bearing a tailspin, and they don't know what to do because they're not used to a pro se litigant doing all the things that you're doing. And I believe that you told me that the judge said exactly that to you, that they're just not used to anybody doing this. They're not used to someone holding them accountable for these things. Now, that statement in and of itself is absolutely, I mean, as informative as it gets when you have a judge tell you they're not used to that. Well, I just thought that, you know, when there's two litigating parties and two opposing counsels, that, you know, everybody is seeking the truth. But, you know, he appears to allude to the fact that maybe that is the case, but it's not as hard as you're going after them, and they're just very uncomfortable. And I believe that you're going that hard because as a pro se litigant and you not being completely educated in all the dynamics and fundamentals of law, I think character, principle, and morality really comes to light when you really start turning over rocks. You want to see really how deep you've been damaged or how deep this deception goes. Would that be something you agree with? Or give me your comments on
that. Yeah, true indeed. The judge definitely told me, the last time I saw him, the judge, I was in court, he told me that the things I'm questioning is common practice. It's common practice for attorneys litigating for banks in the foreclosure process. This is just the process. This is just how it's done. And it's not typical for pro se to come in and ask the questions that I'm asking. That's not typically done. He wants to be fair, is what he told me, and hearing me out, because even though he's heard these things before, it hasn't been done the way I'm doing it. So because of how I'm like you said, turning rocks, he used some other things to describe what I'm doing. The things that I'm revealing to the court, he has to make sure that he does in-depth research on everything that I'm presenting to the court before making a decision. And he's taking his time. And my case has been postponed like 3 times. He's warned me on the fact that he tries to be such a fair judge that a microscope is under his butt. And he can barely even move without them asking him, why'd you make that decision? So he's like, right, because that's how fair of a judge he is. This is, you know, this case and what I'm doing and how I'm presenting it is something that he's taking his time to do. He doesn't want to rush to it. And he makes sure that I do everything the right way because I'm pro se and I don't know all the rules necessarily. This judge has been helping me along the way and making sure that everything I do is correct, you know. So to him,
you're implying that it might be a case of first impression is what they say legally, that you're bringing up things that normally is not brought up. And it might be, and I think what he's saying is that it might be somewhat in others' view overkill, because I think you've established beyond any doubt that there's absolute complete shenanigans in this debt collector's doings, but now you're just pointing them out one by one and you're digging to the bottom of the pot and trying to see how did not only that you did the deception, because it's clear, but you're trying to see how many times you did it, when you did it, how you did it, who did it. Now, you know, is it necessary for you to know all of that? I think whenever you're dealing with somebody that believes or is supposed to believe in a system that's based on fairness and protecting the rights of the people, I just think, you know, it's no different than if you went to a museum for the first time. You're just going to look at every picture. You're going to walk around and you're going to study that. And you're like, wow, how was that made? I mean, it's your first time in there. So this is your first time really being inside of that environment trying to defend your property. And you're seeing things that you can't believe is happening, and you're digging on those things. And the debt collector's probably sitting back and saying, come on, man. Like, you already, like, we already know, like, you know, that, like, we already uncovered, but now you want to x-ray us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Oh, well. You understand? That's what happens when the people, you know, start feeling that they're being oppressed by somebody that should never be in their lives. And, yeah, the people have the tendency to dig a little deeper. Oh, well, I mean, I think the government and everybody else does the same. I mean, I think they dig all in your behind when they feel you've done something wrong. So you're not doing anything different, but yet it's uncomfortable. So, I mean, it's good that you have the support, you know, and the judges being fair. You know, that's all you can ask for is to be fair. But, I think he's fair because you're studying. You're applying the law. You're doing the best that you could. You're not perfect, but I mean, from what I know, from what you show me, you're following the rules a whole lot better than them, and that's telling that they, you know, it's unbelievable. But nonetheless, so your trial been postponed again. It really appears that they don't want to go to trial. So you have some summary judgments pending, I'm gonna say this: I feel sorry for that debt collector. I really do. I really do. I really do feel sorry for them, because it's man. But anything else you want to add, brother? I just wanted to hear from you and give a little update. And
You know, the main thing is when you speak about getting the debt collectors and these people to talk, if they open their mouth, more than likely they're lying. And if you can get them to talk enough and get them to, you can point out their contradictions, you can position yourself as basically someone that's just watching a fight where you can use something that was said in one instance, and another time they say something different and say, well, these things contradict each other, and now they have to explain the contradictions, and it's almost as if they have to fight themselves now, because now you're just pointing out the fact that this is what they did, this is what they said here, here's what they said over there, and now there's a fight on which lie they're going to go with. because they can't tie it in because there is that much of a contrast in their statements. So the more they say, the more they open their mouth, the more lies they tell. And then they'll fire one attorney firm and hire a new one, and then that one starts speaking some other things. You ask them some questions, and as long as you have the court to force them through discovery and interrogatories and motions to compel, the more you can get them to talk, the better off you are. You should say less. You don't have to do so much talking. When I'm in there, in the courts, I barely say anything. I try my best to try to get some things in there and say some, and the judge is like, no need. He just stops you. Like, there's no need to say. You said enough. And everything now to this point is where they have to continue to explain themselves because I've already revealed them to be the liars that and the deceivers that they are. So now, once you've done that, you say less and less. All you have to do is ask the question. You're the consumer. You ask all the questions, and they end up in a tailspin, like you said. They don't know what to do now because I don't reveal it, and the judge has really no choice but to rule in my favor because I don't reveal everything. And then every time somebody else is bold enough to say something, I pick apart everything they say. And as careful as
so in other words, Thor heard that you were in a hearing and they said something to the effect that, well, you haven't provided any evidence. And I heard you said something, and I'm paraphrasing, y'all have never litigated against me. Y'all have been litigating against yourself because all the evidence I have is the evidence you've provided, and I've impeached every last bit of it. So you're saying that you've just been saying two words, and you're getting them to say 30, and then you're picking apart the 30, and then they come back with another 20, and it contradicts the 30, and this has just been what's been going on the whole time.
Right. The whole thing is held together by lies. This is one lie. Once you have told one lie, you got to continue with more lies to make that lie make sense. It's not rooted in any truth. So now when they started out with their lie, if I start asking questions about that lie, they have to tell more things to convolute their lie and make it all, complicated. And then it's like, okay, now that you said that, let me ask you about that. So it makes it very difficult for them to stand on anything because everything, as I pull one lie out of it, everything falls apart for them. So now when they say, you don't have any evidence of anything you're saying, I'm like, well, I'm only using the evidence you've provided to the court. That's the evidence. So if my evidence is not evidence, then your evidence is not evidence. And now they're like, well, where did it go from there? Because now there's no evidence up before the court, period. So now that means whatever you were trying to do doesn't have admissible evidence, and whatever I'm doing doesn't. But regardless, if we don't have any evidence, then why are we even here talking? If neither one of us have evidence,
right,
we could just go home, pack it up, and go home. We're done.
Right, but you're making a claim, though.
Thank you.
You're making a claim that you're entitled to my property and you don't have evidence, but you're saying I don't have evidence. Well, how can I prove a negative? How can I prove something that don't exist? And that's your entitlement to my property. Like, what do you want me to prove that you're wrong about something that you can't prove you're right about? So
I'll just make
one other comment and I'll get on to the calls. You shared with me a time where you just said to the judge, like, judge, this is just, at some point, like, the fat lady is not singing, but she's out of breath. Like, I've heard every story that I can hear. I'm getting tired of just chasing the stories. Like, this is just, it's funny at this point. And you said he kind of looked at you and he kind of smiled and he's just like, yeah, he's just like, every time I come here, y'all got a new story. You got a new title. You're this, you're that. And it's like they're wrapped up in the spider web, man, and they can't even get out.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to them. And, I mean, like you said, it's at this point, it's fun to go in there. I like going there. I, like, just want to schedule a date just to go in there again and just play around some more in the courts and ask some more questions and just see what other lies they go tell. I like going there, so.
It's funny, man, you say that, but I'm going to say something, but I appreciate the update, man, and just keep doing what you do, your inspiration for everybody else. Again, we might
have fun, but it's a serious matter. But we just mm-hmm. trying to share with others your experience so it will be used to uplift people that may experience the same type of event. So I appreciate you and keep us posted.
You know, let me tell you something. The thing about the people that's on here that take the initiative, the people that's on this call and that's on this journey of finding out the information and finding out how they've been violated and things, once they found it, they're so happy and excited that they found it. Finally, they figured it out, how they've been mistreated in the misconduct of these banks and attorney firms. They figured it out. So they're so happy about what they found. They go into the court, and then they make accusations that they can't necessarily prove with admissible evidence because it has to be supported by something, some document or someone you can subpoena into court to say that in the sworn testimony, something. It's like the rules are something that we don't understand, even though we know that they definitely violated us. They definitely injured us. The problem is that when you come in there making accusations and you're so happy about what you found, that you have to prove it now. You can't just make a statement, and most of the things we have is not considered evidence once you get in there. So you have to put these people in a position where you're asking them questions, and then you give the burden of proof onto them, and now you've used all of their statements and documents that they have against them, and that's the only way, like, this is the only way you can fight with them. And Jamie Foxx had a movie, Law Abiding Citizen, and he had the guy in there who he's killing everybody from prison. And the one reoccurring statement through that whole movie was, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. The whole time, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. But we're so excited about what we know, we forgot about the fact that in law, you have to prove it. And we have the hardest time proving that, and that's why we lose when we get in there.
That's right. Too much emotions, you're saying. We learn something and we just want to rattle off instead of being, first of all, having a foundation spiritually and using the information in a way that you put your adversary in the corner. And that's something that you really have to practice. It's something that you really have to do on a daily basis, something I do all the time just in my personal life. Sometimes I do it. You know, I got some communications I share with my staff, you know, for some people that when you read it, I'm be like, do they understand that they contradicted themselves in every sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Do they understand they admitted, then denied, then admitted what they denied, and then denied what they admitted all in one communication? It's just unbelievable. People just really pay attention to their communications and what they say and what they write. I mean, sometimes you can just say the wrong thing, and that's the end of your case. Or not say the right thing or ask the right questions, and that's the end of the case, even though you know a lot, you know?
Right. Yep. So it takes some strategy. It's not only just, I spoke from the first time I got on the call, I said the strategies employed here by Thor is the things that you're learning. It's not about the information. It's information. It's the law. It is what it is. But can you get your adversary to admit it in court, in documentation, in admissible evidence? Can you make them agree or admit to the facts by your line of questioning and strategy? Because you can go in there and say what you want. They're just going to deny everything. Boilerplate, denied, prove that in trial, denied, I don't know what you're talking about, denied, that's ambiguous. They're going to deny everything, and even though they know damn well it's the truth, they're going to say, well, once you bust them, then they're like, well, let me explain, and it's like more lies, but you're going to have to get them to talk. You cannot come in there with your knowledge and everything you know. You're going to have to get them to admit it by using some strategy and, you know, just some really good lines of questioning, which you know is admitted by your adversary.
Beautiful, beautiful. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. That's a learned behavior right there, and you learned it, man. You learned it firsthand through firsthand experience on how to do things, and you're still learning. But you're doing a tremendous job, man. By the way, let me ask you a question. You're part of a pretty big group and movement of your own. Have you shared with them that the information and your experiences and what you're learning and what you're doing?
I try to share my experiences with people as often as I can. But what I've realized is the things that I'm saying sound too simple,
and it sounds like it's missing some stuff. And people like the stuff that has the fireworks with it. Like when you open the box, there's going to be fireworks and, you know,
right.
neon lights and stuff with the package. And if I say it's not that complicated, it's very simple, then, you know, it's like, I don't know if I want to pay, you know, $1,000 for that when I could pay $5,000 for something that's going to have all these templates and strategy documents and all these things
yeah.
I can do. They like those things. I don't know what it is where
yeah.
People are very attracted to the fireworks. And I just speak very plain. Everything I'm saying is very simple. And it's so simple that I think my own nationals are having a hard time grasping the simplicity of how to walk when you get into the judicial system.
But Brother Amin, they think it's simple. It's not. It's learned. You make it look easy when you know it. It's not that it's simple. To them, it sounds simple. It's just that you've reduced it to a level that they can understand it, but it's nothing simple about it. Like when you go in there and you mm-hmm. face these debt collectors or you face those that are representing the debt collector, they're not excited. It looks easy for them. It's second nature. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
right.
but if they try to explain it to you, hell, they would. You probably have to go to the same school they did and spend your five,
right.
7 years understanding what it is they do. So you're taking your experience of a couple of years and you're telling mm-hmm. them, listen, I'm reducing and consolidating my experience and giving it to you in a way that you can understand it, but please don't think it's simple. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Many things in life
mm-hmm.
that are true are simple, but it's not simple to do. You have to
right.
understand that there's a lot that goes into it. Your personality and how you are is something that you've acquired, so you're poised. You don't have to do a lot. You can get excited when you want, but you're delivering the information. You're standing on the truth, and the truth is going to forge you forward. So, you know, it's funny that if you would take that information and you put it in a $10,000 package, people might have more interest in it. And I know you know that for a fact. I mean, we may joke about
right.
that, but that's just true.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, it's a sad thing, but that's just reality. You know, that's just reality.
There's only a handful, honestly, to answer your question, there's a handful of brothers and sisters that come to me and we're working on their debts, and they're having success with it. But, you know, the bulk of the people is like, yeah, right. You know, I hear you. Sounds good, but where's the fireworks? I don't. Where's the catch? Like,
where's the cussing? Where's the booty prints on the paper? Where's the purple marks? Where's the 97
yeah.
stamps? You know, where's the
right.
cussing? Where's the vulgar language? Where's the, you know, me calling
uh-huh.
you up? You know, where's all that? Where's the fighting? Mm-hmm. Where's the drama? Where's the reality TV show type behavior? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they. All right, I feel you. I feel you. I would have to agree with you.
I guess that's what the law shows on TNT and all these other law shows they got out there to paint a picture for you for something that's really not like that. Like you really, when you really get into all these criminal attorneys and all these people, they know they don't do all of that. The police know they don't do all of that researching and you know, all of that.
right.
CSI. That's TV stuff, so that you have an idea in your mind of something that's like, yeah, it's theatrics, it's drama. You know, so
theatrics.
And
that's what it's made for,
it,
though. You couldn't imagine if they, look, your case would not be a TV show. They would have to add some some sensation
right.
to it. They would have to
right.
make it a whole lot more than it is, because sometimes the truth is just boring, man. I mean,
it is.
You know, it's
it
just
is.
Boring. If I put on a show tomorrow and say I'm going to talk about so-and-so, or if I throw a couple of MFs in my language, I'm just telling you, I'm being real with you. I'd have another 500, 800 people on the show.
Right.
Okay? And I'll talk about how, you know, I'll talk about religion, and I'll talk about this, and I'll talk about that, and I'll talk about culture, and I'll talk about ethnicity and all that. And, man, I'll have a million people on here. And I'll talk about something that will help you. And one or two things is going to happen. You're either going to say, well, that's too boring, or he's not my kind, or what kind
mm-hmm.
is he, or where does he come from, or where, who is he, Is he a robot? Is he a human? Is he a Christian? Is he, you know, all that. It's unbelievable that, you know, but that's just, you know, to each his own. Like, you know, I had an email from a listener, and she gave me some very powerful recommendation, but, you know, we had a back and forth communication that was definitely enlightening for the both of us. And she said, Brother Sharif, forget about who, like, forget about them ghouls, forget about them and that. Look, let people go where they're going to go. I said, no, I'm not trying to hold anybody from leaving anywhere. I'm just making sure I didn't put out a warning. Do you understand? It's not about stopping anybody. Some people can go and do what they want to do. If you can hear information, like there's certain people I can't listen to, although they have good information. Okay, I can't listen to them. Or it just doesn't strike me like that. But then somebody else can talk on the same topic and bring it a different way, and it's just like, wow, I see it. I think that's what Thor is. We bring the same information. We didn't discover this information. We didn't, you know, by and large, other people were talking about the topic, might not have been doing the topic, but talking about the topic probably longer than Thor. But it's the way we bring it that kind of pricks conscience of the people or gives people that aha moment. And that's something that is a gift or a blessing from the Creator. So not saying that everybody else is doing it wrong, just saying, you know, some people just, it's kind of boring. Like, you can't keep my attention. Like, I got to have a little bit, I got to have an orator that has some enthusiasm, that has some oomph, you know? And I don't care what kind of information. If I have a choice for somebody that's really kind of even-keeled, I'm going to pick the guy that has a little bit of excitement. That's just me. But then some people will say, oh, hey, man, Brother Sharif, you're doing too much preaching, man. You too hard, man. That's just me. I mean, you have to try to find someone else that appeals to your hearing needs. Well, but I appreciate you, brother. Keep doing what you're doing.
Everything you guys do is lay everything out on the table. And because everything is out on the table for everybody to see and understand, they're not used to that. So it makes them question what your intentions are. Because they used to.
What could our motive be? We're on the show for free. We're not selling you a package. We're not asking you for donations. We're bringing information that you can see yourself. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing so-called private. We're not hiding anything from you. So, what else could be the motivation other than we're doing it because the Creator has us doing it and we're doing it from the heart? What else could it be?
It's not common. That's not common that you find people that would do something like that. Most people are like, this is secret information. This is a big secret. Nobody knows it. It's like, this is too complicated for me to explain to you. Just pay me and I got you. You know, they don't want to explain anything to their clients. They're like, they're going to keep them dumb. And it's like, you're doing the opposite. You're giving them all of the information. And they're like, well, when is your involvement going to come in where you – you know, have this other side of the information.
Yeah, they're waiting for the bill.
Yeah, like, okay, where's the bill at for all of this information? Because I don't get half of it with the person that was helping me for 3 years and I haven't got nowhere.
Right, and then the people across the street talking like, come on over here and give me $5,000, $10,000, and I'm gonna give you a little bit at a time now, because you know ain't nobody going to give you no good information, no give you no gold like that. Give me that. That's not gold. Let me appraise that. That's not gold. You know that boy don't know what he's talking about. That boy's crazy. He's not even from here. He's not even American, or he's not even this, or he's not, you know, what are you talking about? Nobody gives out that information for free. If it's free, it has no value. But then they take the information, and they assess a pretty nice value on it and redistribute it or sell it to the people, because people are conditioned to pay for something that is valuable. So that's why we focus here on Thor and saying this is a spiritual thing as well as an educational thing.
The issue is, if you say one word, like a lot of you say specific laws, if you say one thing, if they were to give one part of their strategy and what they're doing, you could pretty much just Google. Now, like, the information is out there to the degree where you, from your phone, they can verify what you're saying, find cases, and it's very easy to find this information today, in this day and age.
That's right.
So now it's like, like I told you, The attorneys that work for these debt collectors like to accuse us, oh, they got this templated stuff off the internet. They don't know. They're not doing any research. They're just a mere, debtor. They don't know anything. Well, you know, it's like how can you say something like that when we know you're, these attorneys are using the internet it's way more than we are. We just now got on the internet because we have to defend ourselves.
I don't mean to cut you off, but tell me, and I'll have to go to the callers, but tell me the line that you said to the judge when they kept saying, he don't know what he's doing. He got this stuff off the internet, and there was a response that I think they did that was pretty much a common boilerplate response that really didn't address anything. And I believe you told the judge, you said, Judge, I don't know what this response is. I think this defendant got this response off the internet. I see that everywhere. Yep. And he was just laughing, cracking up.
Yep.
You know, he just threw it back at him and said, I think y'all got this response off the internet. I've seen this a million times on the internet. That response
is
everywhere.
It has nothing to do with my case. And I'm just wondering why did they even feel the need to take these laws and this stuff, this scenario, this case law. What are we talking about this for? This has nothing to do with my case. None of this has happened in my case. This must have came off the internet. They must have found this off the internet and tried to use this to, you know, distract us. I don't even know what the purpose would be, but
I know they were looking confused. Like, this dude here going to try to throw that back at us, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. Wow.
That's what they,
amazing,
I see, when you see them mess up like that and put wrong information in the case, you have to point out, like, you got to throw it back at them. Like, look, they're using this wrong. This case law is wrong. This is wrong. This doesn't pertain to me. They must have got this off the internet, this boilerplated case, which is similar to my case, but not the same, because we all know no case is the same, but they are trying to use, scratch this ground to find anything they can find to fight against what I'm doing, and they're having a hard time, so they got to resort to going to the internet to find something, and this is what I'm, you know, explaining to the judge, and the judge is like looking like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I don't even know what this, what were you trying to do with when you put this information. What does this have to do with anything?
So you're calling up everything. Eh? That's good, man. I'm glad you're having fun, and I'm glad you're not taking it personal. And I believe even counsel laughed and smiled, and I don't think they take it personal as well. But, you know, some people really take this information, and they take good information, and they make it chaotic. They add frustration and whatnot to it because that's the spirit that they have on their hands when they touch it. So they'll take something good and just tear it up. And we see that happen, and you need to tune in next Tuesday. You know, you just you take something that's pure and you just ruin it. It doesn't even sound the same anymore. You water it down, or you add your own frustration and your own ignorance and sometimes other things to it. And you just want to use it to oppress somebody. You want to beat somebody down to a pulp because you just didn't read. You just didn't educate yourself. So I'm glad you brought that out, but I'm glad you're having fun, man. I'm glad you're not taking any of it personal. And I think you're not doing that because you have the right spirit, and you know what you know, and you know you can't be beat with what you know. So when you know it, you don't have to get excited. You just... work your plan and plan your work, man. So keep doing what you're doing, man. We definitely love you, man. We appreciate you. All right. I'm sorry. I'm over time. I'm going to get in trouble. Layla, did you have another topic you want to go into? Let's just go to 2 o'clock
let's
give the people a little bit more information.
I was going to bring up
all right.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Caller line. I'm sorry. Let me go there.
Let's go to the
yeah, we got a few
line.
People in the queue.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Please.
We got the Yafa. Let me hear for the Yafa, 443-1257. Is that the Yah?
Hi.
Oh,
hi. Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. I thought that was the...
That's fine. That's fine. I do have a question. And Brother Amon, the one you were just speaking to, kind of tapped in on it. He mentioned that all you have to do is find one item or one thing in or that they did wrong in your foreclosure and leave the burden of proof, if you strategize and leave the burden of proof on them. That way they will have
no,
to prove...
No, no, let me correct you a little bit. No, that's not... That's
okay.
not what we're saying, and that's not what he's implying. It all depends on what party you are in litigation. Are you defendant or you're the plaintiff? But he's saying that when you start at the bottom, you'll find things, and you'll start asking
right.
questions about that one thing. And what's
right.
indicative of Amon's case is that he started with one thing. And
mm-hmm.
based on their explanation of that one thing, it turned into three other things based on their explanation and them trying to
solidify the one thing, they provided other things, and it was like, okay, well, that you provided to try to support that one thing, I have a problem with those things, and it just snowballed. Because it's a lie. It starts on a lie, it's going to end on a lie, but it's going to then progress to multiple lies. And then you're just going to be looking at it and you say, that's not what you said. But then when you start changing parties and you start assignments and transfers and switching out counsel and doing all these things, there's no way in the world you can maintain anything but the truth. Now, you can change dance partners with the truth, and it'll remain the truth, but you can't change dance partners when you're lying, because everybody lies in a different way. Everybody's going to present a different way of lying. So, you know, if it starts off supposedly as the truth, you can always stand there, and when they're lying about what is really not the truth, then every lie, you're just going to be like, well, that's not what your last dance partner said. That's not what the last, well, this is the letter that came from the last, well, that's not the same amount, but you said you got it from them, and now you're saying, you see what I mean? So I think that's what Amen is implying more so. You can find that one lie, and you can discover other lies within that lie, or you can discover other lies when they try to defend that lie. Okay?
Okay, got it. And my second question is quickly, I just want your opinion on this. I'm in Maryland, but the opinion is out there that post-foreclosure, it's impossible to get a foreclosure reversed or overturned or whatever. Why is that? And I'll hang up and listen for your answer. Thank you very much.
Getting a foreclosure overturned is difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying with the path that we're on over here, we don't too much engage in the education of mortgagee-mortgagor relationship, because we feel by and large a lot of us are really not properly in that position. So after a foreclosure, you still may have an opportunity to engage them on a consumer protection level, depending on your timing, depending on what you do and how you do it. But going back into that environment to fight what you already experienced could be a res judicata issue. But you do have a right to go back and try to set aside or avoid a wrongful foreclosure, which is a state tort claim. And that's a little bit more difficult, and that requires you to become knowledgeable, again, in that mortgagee-mortgagor relationship. So, you know, you have to choose how you want to go about doing it. And when you've met with that choice and your desire is to go back and be compensated for a wrong, then I think that's where you need to seek competent counsel to do that. I think that's the best way to explain it to you, sister, hopefully, if I explained it. So let me go to the caller line. Let me go to 702-3147. Do you have a question?
Not really a question, Brother Streep. I just wanted to say that I enjoy your show. I enjoy everyone on the panel. I listen in religiously every Tuesday and Friday when you have it. And I just wanted to give you awesome words of encouragement and praise and keep doing what we're doing. And for those that aren't always so encouraging, just know that there are many that are. So keep up the hard work, because I know it takes a lot of dedication. And we appreciate you.
Why, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. That was nice. And we feel we're appreciated, no doubt about it. I mean, we have many listeners, and, you know, we know that we appreciate it. So, but it's always good to hear it. We thank you. 336-6298, you on Thor Radio?
Yes. 336-6298.
Yes.
Can you hear me, Sheree?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got a question that's probably beyond your experiences, but a friend of mine recently got into a situation where he fell in love when he was overseas, and he married somebody, and he wants to get that somebody into the country. Can you refer me to someone that can assist him other than a United States senator? Yeah.
Are you serious? Like, I would know nothing about that. You're right. That's beyond my
my experience, but no, I have no idea about that. But I appreciate your call. Wow. Seriously? Has that person been listening to my call or whatnot? Layla,
Brother Shreve, you do have a lot of knowledge, and we know that you stay in your lane, but there's a potential possibility you may know. So maybe that's why you were asked that question.
Well, I'll give you my funny answer. From what I'm hearing, the borders down there somewhere, Arizona, I heard the borders are open and people are just walking over. I mean, I don't know. I mean, bus, horse, carriage, dune buggy. I mean, I don't know. How would you get somebody over here? I don't know. I mean, I heard of a 12-year-old boy that hid in the landing gear of an airplane, and I think he flew across the country or something like that and jumped out of the plane when it landed. I don't know, man. I really don't handle that kind of stuff. But thank you, man. Thank you for making me feel smart. But I'm sorry I can't help you with that. Let's go to my man over here, my 412-1568. What's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing today, Sharice?
Man, I'm blessed. Anytime I'm here, I'm good. Hearing you also.
All right, what's going on? I got two questions. I'll be brief with them. When you're doing that foreclosure and you're having a complaint in the state court, now, should you do your state Telephone Communications Act as a counterclaim and do your federal with your Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and the Telephone Communication Act in a separate complaint, or should you do a counterclaim complaint with the state court since they're suing you for a foreclosure in a state court with the FCPA, with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and the Telephone Communications Act?
All right, you kind of lost me because I think you are naming the TCPA as a state claim. It's not. That's a federal claim. FDCPA, FCRA, TCPA, federal claims. I don't, and this is my opinion. Of course, I don't give any legal advice, but I'm just going to give you my opinion, my experience. I don't do counterclaims because I find that counterclaims can be dismissed by the state court, and sometimes they are. So then you wasted all that time waiting to bring forth your claims under the federal law. Because if you're going to do a counterclaim, then you need to it needs to be removed. Okay? So, I don't do counterclaims. I just do separate actions. Okay? If I got a federal question, I take it to the federal court. I don't co-mingle the two. I don't counterclaim. Okay? I do a separate action. All right? I don't mix them together. And I think you'll see why for those that do. Maybe some are successful doing that way, but I just don't make it a habit of doing that. I keep them separate. So anything that's a federal question, federal law, take it to the federal court. State court claims, I take it to the state court. If they're both, you can also take it to the federal court because the federal court can hear both state and federal court claims.
Okay, maybe I pose a question, Ron. Like, if you're in state court, you have consumer protection laws in the state court. So the state consumer protection law, should you use that as a counterclaim?
Right. I see what you're saying. If you're just going to do your state, like say you're in California and you want a counterclaim on a Rosenthal. Just the Rosenthal. Yeah, you can do that. What is really Rosenthal going to bring you compared to this foreclosure event? Not much. It's almost like throwing a RESPA claim in there. What are you going to get, a couple thousand dollars? So you got to bring something heavy enough to really kind of counterclaim and they be concerned about it. Other than that, you need to do your separate action under the FDCPA, FCRA, and TCPA. You just keep them separate. You keep the state to state, keep the federal to federal, or if you got federal question, you can add your state in there, and the district court can do both. That's how I would do it, especially dealing with an alleged foreclosure. Now, that's only if you're dealing with a foreclosure, dealing with a creditor, then you got to deal with that. Not every foreclosure is erroneous. And people need to understand that. You can't just apply this information to everything. And I think there's a consensus that people can do that. They just think, oh, because, well, that's what they said. No, that's not what we said. Every case is different. That's why when people try to come up with cookie-cutter processes and products and package and bottle everything, thinking that everybody can do the same thing, and then when people do it when they're not supposed to do it, then, you know, that's when people run into a waste of time. They run into a problem, and then they paid for the problem at that. So you have to learn the information. You just can't take it and use it. You have to learn it. You have to study it. You have to understand it for yourself in order for you to be able to demonstrate it. So that's what I would do, brother. If you're dealing with the creditor, you need to work it out. You need to work it out with that creditor. Okay? If they're a true creditor, you need to work that out because you're indebted to them. Okay? And you have to know the difference. Okay, you can't talk to them like they're a debt collector when they say, we don't know what the heck you're talking about. We're your doggone creditor. All right? There was a gentleman that called in, I think, on.
I listened to you enough for that to know who's a creditor.
I know, you know my premise on that, but I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I know
there was
that.
A gentleman called in a while ago when I was on the other station, and he had did some stuff with his car. I think he was just applying the information in blanket form. And he sent out some notices to the company that was financing his car. And he sent some information there like, what the heck is he talking about? This guy sounds like he's about to leave the country with our vehicle. And they came and repoed his vehicle. He says, well, I sent them. It wasn't anything that he learned from us. Sorry, he got from somebody else. He said, and they came and took my car. I said, I would have did the same thing. Like, you don't know who you're talking to. You're sounding crazy. Your communication is all over the place. You got a little bit from here. See, that's when you apply to, you got this stuff off the Internet. And they came and took his car. I said, why would you even do that without knowing who you're talking to or who you're dealing with? See, that's why you got to have the right spirit coming to the information. People just come into it, and they just feel like they got a new weapon, and they want to go, you know, apply it to everything. They want to start hitting people with the stick. You know, hey, I got this power. You don't have any power unless you have knowledge and understanding of what you're doing, and you can't take anything and everything somebody says and think that it applies to your situation. Okay? You got to know who you're talking to. So now he had his car stolen. He has no transportation, all because he was talking to somebody with the wrong communication. They know who they are. You should know who they are. And when you send them a communication, you should know that you're sending communication to the proper person. If not, and you send me a wrong communication, then you got to pay for it. And somebody is, because I get some wrong communications. So you got to know what you're talking about, you know, especially when you're dealing with anything lawfully. You need to know that you're saying the right thing to the right person. You don't send a QWR to a debt collector, okay? You don't send a creditor a notice of dispute. It's simple. They're two different languages, two different activities, two different laws. But you already know that, brother. I'm preaching to the choir because I know you've been listening a while.
The reason why I said that, as far as the state claim, since it's a foreclosure in a state court in the state court. Because what we were looking at is that there are violations as far as the state consumer protection laws exceed the value of their claim that they're bringing against the property. And so that's why I was asking, should that be, you know, I asked, should that be a separate state claim or should it be a counterclaim with the foreclosure? I know the federal should be in federal court. I'm not talking about the federal. That would be something completely different. But if the state claim exceed the value of what they're saying you owe for the house, in the consumer protection laws, it exceeded the value of what they're saying their claim is. So, you know, I was wondering if a person.
I see what you're thinking, but you're going to have to understand that there may be the presumption that if a perceived creditor is bringing a foreclosure, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt that they're bringing it properly. I believe, from my experience, that's just the environment. So I can see you trying to mount a counterclaim action that may exceed the value of what they're trying to foreclose on, but I don't think that's going to be effective. I think they're not going to even care there.
Okay, that's what I was going to
say. I see what you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking, okay? I mean, I can see you. I understand, and I know because you've been around a while with me, I know you're strategizing, and that's good,
But I think in that environment, you're not going to really have an opportunity to do too much strategy. You just got to defend and if properly bring a separate action based on what's going on there and defend what you're doing in there. And you just need to keep it real short and sweet.
Okay.
We're going to be doing a webinar on that. So.
The second question was, most of these debt collectors, most of these debt collectors, the original creditor got paid some sort of insurance. And I'm finding that to be, you know, correct from my research that most of them, even with a regular, you know, original creditor, there's some sort of insurance that pays that. And I know even with a foreclosure, there's a credit default swap. Is that the case in most cases that the original creditor gets some insurance money?
No, I mean, it may be, but what does that have to do with you? Like, if they had insurance, who paid for that insurance? You didn't pay for it. I see what you're saying. But there's nothing stopping you from having three insurance policies on your wife or your girlfriend or anybody else. So let's say something happens and you go to collect on that insurance policy and you go to the first one and they pay you and you go to the second one and they say, well, the first one paid you. How are you getting another one? Well, I paid multiple policies. It's my policy. If you have a right to have multiple insurance policies or a insurance policy, that doesn't indemnify you. It indemnifies them. That's their insurance policy. So, I mean, I know a lot of people get into that, you know, when they were paid by how are you going to prove that? See, that's a difficult road. But again, like you hear, Brother Amos, some people just like it rough. If it ain't rough, it ain't right. So they like the complexity of saying, well, this, and they like the remix, and they like the you know, the mortgagee, and they like the 1933 and the 1924. And they like all of that, you know, because it's complex. But at the end of the day, how are you going to prove something that you think happened, but you don't have the evidence, and you're going to have to work hard through discovery to get that evidence from them. And they're going to fight you like I would to get any evidence that may implicate them. You understand what I'm saying? I might just do all kinds of things. Well, you know, Pookie's not available. He's overseas. He has the information, and we sent him on a vacation. He hasn't come back yet. I mean, the Taliban might have taken him. We don't know. I mean, you know, they're going to hide. Man, they're going to do what they got to do, but they're going to do what they supposed to do unless you really know what you're doing, because if you know what you're doing, you'll obtain it. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult, man, on the path that you're thinking about, and I understand you're a very strategic thinker. So, but, you know, don't worry about the insurance. You have to rely upon your case and the merits of your claim, not the weakness of their claim. Okay? You got to establish your claim, your superior claim. You can't just say, well, theirs is weak. Well, they're presenting one, though. You just can't say, well, I should win because theirs is weak. They're presenting one. You have to overcome that by the merits of your claim.
Okay. I understand what you're saying now, because well, I guess what put me on that track is because what I was saying is a lot of times they'll get paid insurance. The insurance will pay the debt off, and they'll sell the debt at the same time, the pennies on a dollar. So, you know, that's I was looking at it, you know, in that instance, you know. But,
right quick before I go to the next caller, if you took those two scenarios, which one would be the easier to prove, in your opinion?
Oh, you got it for pennies on a dollar.
All right, then. There you go. So that's the thing, we in debt collection, right? All right, you got to prove you got a financial injury, right? You say, oh, $100,000, right? And you say that's what you're injured to the amount of $100,000, right? Okay, great. Now, I got information to say that you didn't pay $100,000 for it. I'm looking at your instruments. I'm looking at value of consideration. I'm looking at value received. And none of those say that you were injured, okay, financially. And being that I know the definition of those words, then it's easier for me to have you prove that you paid, you're injured to the amount of $100,000. It's going to be hard for me to say, well, your insurance policy, they're going to be like, that's not your insurance policy. That's none of your business. Okay? And it ain't. None of your business.
I had to run stuff past.
The debt collector is the easier one to establish your claim.
All right. Thanks, Sheree.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right. Let me go to a couple other calls. I'm going to get cussed out again because I'm going over the time. Let me go to 201-8387. You're on Thor Radio. You have a quick question.
Hello, Brother Sharif. Yes, my question is real quick. I just wanted to know, is it an FCRA violation for a non-bank mortgage servicer, third-party debt collector, to be on my credit report? In your opinion?
In my opinion, in my knowledge of a credit report, just by mere reference of it being a credit report, I would say that only a creditor should be reporting. How am I to know that you're a servicer? So when I look at my credit report, my recollection and my memory is going to go to, did I ever establish a contract with this particular, I don't know who they are. So if I dispute it and they come back and say, well, we're so-and-so, I'm like, well, who are you? Like, I'm looking at all my records. So my opinion is, what kind of servicer is it? Are they a bank servicer or a non-bank servicer, meaning a debt collector? Okay? So if you're a debt collector, no, you shouldn't be reporting. And then if you're a bank servicer, I would be looking to establish where is it within the agreement that I have that allows someone other than the creditor or the mortgagee to report. So, again, that type of reporting by non-bank servicers gives you the presumption of the boogeyman. Well, we're reporting it for somebody else. Well, I got to see the boogeyman. I got to hear from the boogeyman, not his helpers. Okay? So until you establish there's a boogeyman, don't tell me you're reporting for the boogeyman. I don't know who he is because he's not listed in my credit report. I mean, you're listed in there. You don't say that you're doing it for the boogeyman. You don't even say the name of the boogeyman. So my opinion would be, no, creditors are supposed to be in your credit report, and that's all supposed to be in there, and you're going to have to establish you're a creditor. And you're going to have to establish whether you're a bank servicer or a non-bank servicer.
Okay, great. So being the fact that they've got the loan in default, and they're definitely non-bank, they've been on the credit report for 5+ years. So going by what your opinion is, I would guess that your opinion would be that I probably have a pretty big case because, you know, it's 3 credit bureaus times 5 years or whatever the statute of limitations might be. I think I have 4, but that's still should be a
pretty
good case.
But those damages doesn't begin to toll until you necessarily dispute it. Okay, and then once they come back, because you haven't disputed it, it could be there erroneously or intentionally or not, but until you dispute it and they continue to reside there, then is when you start to toll your damages. Now, you can make a claim that, listen, they've been on there this long, and that is damages for these X amount of years. I think that will be taken into account. But you have to dispute it, and they come back and say, yeah, we're there correctly. Like, yeah, we got a lease with you. All right, so we're in your credit report. So you need to do that first, and they may come back and be like, oh, man, yeah, we need to get out of there. That doesn't mean that they didn't harm you by being there, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But you have to do your part and dispute that information.
Okay, excellent. I learned a lot with that. I appreciate that, Brother Sharif. Thank you.
No problem, brother. Thank you for showing up. All right, let me go right quick. Let's try to take these couple six – oh, darn it. 678-6235. You're on Thor Radio. You have a quick question.
Hi, Brother Sharif. This is Sister Allen in Atlanta. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Fine. I had a couple of questions. I wanted to do a follow-up with you on what we were talking about before. Potential modification, potential foreclosure, Bank of New York Mellon Countrywide, went to Bank of America, not on the credit report, spoke with the attorney after our call, and what they said was that it was not, they hadn't started the proceedings, they hadn't put it in Georgia, they have to put it in the paper for 4 weeks, it hasn't been there, and I just want to know, how do you proceed with that? Do you go with the lawsuit, or do you go with, because I had remodified when it was with Bank of America, and then when it changed over, it's just been real confusing. So should I try to remodify with NationStar, or because they're considered a debt collector, or should I fight it?
I'm gonna say this. I can't give you any legal advice, but I'm gonna give you my opinion on what I would do if I was you. If I still had some confusions as to whether. And you already did a modification one, so you've executed some sort of a contract with them, and then, you know, for some reason, you know, you had an issue with that contract.
I would think, and I would tell everybody, that if you don't have the ability to take the action to them and take it properly without making a mistake, I would say that you would just go and modify and be safe. I mean, this is your property. This is your habitat. This is your kingdom. This is where you live. Okay. If the terms are agreeable and you can handle it, then just go ahead. And then later on, educate yourself enough. It's nothing stopping you from going back later once you obtain enough information and saying, look, I got some issues with these things and I'm finding some problems. And a lot of times you'll be surprised that if you just send them a communication, they'll do some adjustments privately with you without you going to court, just on the hint that you may go to court. Okay, understanding that you now know that it was so much profit and markup and wheeling and dealing, if you know that there's some significant errors, you can always go back and be like, you know, I realized that y'all really wasn't this and you really wasn't that, but then I found these other things, but then I found a lot of charges and costs that you wasn't entitled to. So always give someone an opportunity. That's what you do when you, the last gentleman, when you're disputing a credit report. You give somebody an opportunity and say, now, you know, I'm giving you an opportunity. It's a tort letter. Okay, I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm letting you know that you might be harming me. You need to go ahead and check yourself. All right, and everybody should have that warning. The show that I'm going to do next Tuesday, I gave people warnings. I said, listen, you better watch what you're doing. You better stop what you're doing. Okay, you got to give everybody a warning. You don't have to. Okay, everybody thinks you have to send out a notice of dispute. If you have something in front of you that's a violation, you can go straight to the courthouse and bring it. You don't have to warn them that they did something or already did something wrong. You do have to dispute by law, but you don't. If you have something that's a violation, you can go right to it. Okay, you have to follow the law. If the law says send a letter, send a letter. Okay, so what I would do in your case is that I know you've been going in circles with it, and it is quite confusing. I don't think you're going to be able to acquire the knowledge without obtaining the assistance of competent counsel. I don't think you're going to be able to gain enough to be able to go after it and be successful. So what I would tell you to do is to just call them up and try to negotiate something that you feel is fair to you. One thing you do know right now is you know that there may be something wrong, and you know the amount of markup or flexibility they may have. So with that knowledge in and of itself, you can call and be like, this is where I need to be. This is the type of principal amount that I need to be financing after the modification. This is the interest rate I want to fall into. I want no stair stepper, okay? And this is what I want my payments to be based on 30% of my income. Simple as that. And you say, now, if you can't do that, then I think we might have to go down a different road in terms of litigation. But you know they can do it because you know anything you give them is a raise.
An ultimatum. Okay, so what you're saying is tell them what I can do.
I don't say give them an ultimatum. Give them choices. Say I'm finding some things that are not adding up, and they may or may not be a violation. I'm thinking about seeing an attorney or maybe considering some type of other action, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to try to make this right for me. This is what I want. You're a consumer, okay? So exert your power, especially if you see that there's something wrong, okay? Point it out. They know whether it's wrong or not. So all I'm telling you is use what knowledge you have now, which is I know something is wrong, and I know that maybe I have some negotiating power to be able to say this is what I need it to be. That agreement is not going to work. I'm not going to be able to make those payments. I'll wind up defaulting in 6 months. This is what I need from you. And if you can put that together, I may go ahead and execute that agreement with you. If you don't, you may force me to go get an attorney and have to do this another way. Okay? That's one way to look at it. If I was you, that's what I would do.
I want to say thank you. So I'm one of those folks that would give you a hard time, but I do so appreciate you. Thank you, Brother Sharif.
I appreciate you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
We have 2 minutes
left.
Layla,
can I take one more question?
One minute, and then you'll have to close it out. We have 2 minutes left.
All right. 1 minute, 404-6439.
Hey, it's Reed. This is Brother TV. Listen, I got a question for you. I have one of your seminars right now, one of your webinars. with you and Yousef on it. I'm trying to find out which the one come behind that one. I'm dealing with a debt collector.
If you have the November
14th. I looked at the site, and I can't tell which one the gum comes next, and I just don't want to choose the wrong one.
All right, just email me at DebtShow. I think you got November 14th, and then there's a just email me, DebtShow@Yahoo.com, and I'll give you the sequence, all right?
Okay, I've already emailed you and told you to give me a call, so because I was in one of the webinars. And you may, and
okay.
You may see it today.
Okay. All right, I'll get on it, brother, and I'll get back to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right,
we got 1 minute left in the live stream. We're just going to go 2 or 3 minutes. We got a couple of announcements, and then I have to get off. I have to go back in the cage. I appreciate my staff letting me roam a little bit longer, but we wanted to make sure we got to a good bit of questions, and we did. And I'm going to turn it back over to them for any announcement and closing remarks. Is Lori there? I haven't heard from her the entire show.
I'm here.
Layla?
Yes, Lori.
Oh, you are.
I tried to talk earlier. I was trying to tell Yama thank you and how beautiful she was, and I needed to hear what she had to say. I loved it. But I guess I was muted or something because I was yelling. I was standing on my desk. I was raising my hand.
That line has been open. I thought they put you in the cage and let me out.
I think I was in the cage. I don't know. I'm jumping out, though. But anyway, I do want to say thank you, Yama, for her beautiful words today. But, yeah, I've been here. It was a great show. Great show. And for that young lady that's in Georgia that just called, I'm sorry, I already forgot your name. I apologize. There's an attorney firm that is in Georgia, and I'm not recommending anybody. However, the attorney firm, I don't know if y'all remember that Anton case, that's the Daniel Anton versus Aaron, and that young man, he went to the FDCPA attorney there in Georgia, which was with the Jordan Law Firm, and they filed that really nice case, which they have requested, some time to be answering it on. But I would be looking up that law firm because it looks to me like that might be a really smart FDCPA 30-minute counsel. And who knows, you might could get you some legal advice there later on down the road.
Yeah, we kind of do some recommendations based on the fact that, you know, we discuss here at Thor a lot of interesting cases and a lot of good cases brought by some good attorneys. So we can't speak as to how they perform, but we don't have an issue with attorneys at all. We know there's some good attorneys out there because, obviously, if we're reading cases, okay, and opinions from the courts, an attorney, or a pro se litigant are the ones that had to bring those claims and bring them properly or in a way that we could understand it. So, obviously, we don't put down any individual or person or group here. We do put down behavior and conduct that's unbecoming. But definitely there's a lot of good attorneys out there. I mean, from the cases we've been reading, some really good ones that think outside the box. And definitely always do not shut off that avenue because you may need it. Some things are complex and some things are not easy.
Yeah, it just sounded like she was maybe really confused there and if she made the choice of not wanting to move forward in whatever direction, at least she could have.
She said the Jordan Law Firm. What city was that?
That's in Georgia, in the Northern District. I remember that. So that's got
to
be.
Northern District's going to be, I believe, Atlanta. So, yeah, Sister Tamara, that's in.
Right.
It's in Northern Georgia, so that you might be Northern District. So. Well, that's just the court they brought it in. It that doesn't have anything where they're at. But, you know, you should be able to find them. But, you know, that's a good recommendation. If they did a good case, then, you know, those are good attorneys to talk about if they have an understanding of consumer protection law. But, Sister Rude, Mother. Rudy, you there?
I got her.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
All right, there you go.
All right, there you go. Oh, here I am. You know, fantastic program. I think with some great testimonies. I think we covered a lot of good information. Doing what we do, keeping the people informed with current events day to day, week to week. Happy day, everybody.
Thank you. Layla.
This broadcast has been Thor-tabulous. And I just want to thank
wait a minute now. That might be Ms. Allen's intellectual property now. You got to make sure that she doesn't want to be compensated for offering that full word. You know. Yeah, be careful. You know, I'm on the hunt for violating intellectual property. I'm on the hunt. So you know, she threw that at us. Let's make sure she don't want, you know, something for that.
I wanted to make sure I gave her credit, you know, for offering that wonderful
credit?
Work in the form of acknowledgement on the air with utilizing the word. That's a new word in the Thor vocabulary. I used to use, and I use the word fantabulous, so Thor-tabulous fits right in with fantabulous. So I just wanted to give her kudos, if you will, for supplying that. We've asked people, and she was the first one, so... We will figure out what kind of a nice little perk we will provide for her. I hope you have her information in play so we can contact her and let her know.
Wow, beautiful.
What that will be.
Let me see. I think I got a host in here, 678-0935. Is that who I think it is?
Yes, truly, Latif Kareem Bey.
What you doing sneaking in my church, man? You come up to the front when you come in my church, man. You a deacon.
Sometimes it's good just to partake in the ministry.
You said sometime what?
It's good to just partake in the ministry.
So Thor take, huh? All right. Now, do you want to, is there any charge for you making that recommendation? Because, you know, I mean, it's a lot of... You know, intellectual property thievery going on, and you know, people just don't respect other people's ideas. And you know, Latif, I know you know, intellectual property is thoughts as well. I don't think people understand how deep that goes.
Well, no, the show was fantastic. I think there was one comment that one of your deacons made about this class action that she got a class action notice. And a very inexpensive way to get into the action is to give a notice to all parties that you are opting out, and then you're intervening, and you just ride along the case. So basically, you become a primary litigant in that affair, okay? The court has to grant you to come in, and any proceeds come out, you get your fair share. You don't get the 40 cents on the 40 cents. That the masses get. You get the amount that's afforded to the actual claimants.
So I knew you was gonna jump in there and start that whole thing. So here we go. All right. So Latif, you got a class action. You get a letter like Layla, and basically they're gonna make her a defendant in a group with the rest of the defendants. Say it's 2,000 people. And
that's
if
correct.
She's a part of that or she doesn't opt out, then she gets whatever they divvy up at the end after they account all expenses and the cruise ships and the limousine rides and the paper clips and all that, all the expenses. She'll get $2,040. Or she can opt out of that and say, no, I don't want to be a defendant in the class action, and you're saying she can intervene. And what are the differences? Why does she get more money being an intervener as opposed to a member of the class action?
The class action are the John Does that are never defined, that they're not part of the lead case, so they get the peanuts and it falls from the table. Because at some point in time, the defendant has to disgorge their record to show who are the class of people that are affected by this decision, okay? But the lead case, or the lead claimants are the parties that are getting paid along with the attorneys. because they're showing actual damages. At that point in time, when you intervene, you have a legal right to intervene because you've got that defendant under the jurisdiction of the court to address the issue. So now you don't have to go out and summons and serve them or any of that. You can just come in and say, hey, I'm an intervener, and I'm similarly situated, but I have opted out. I give an opt-out notice to the court and everybody else involved. So you're proceeding on your own merits, okay? So that's the difference.
You definitely have to be experienced and have the requisite knowledge to do that, but that's, I definitely understand. I didn't go into it, you know, for that reason. But I'm going to have you on. I'm going to have you on, brother. I got a big show coming up, and I definitely was going to contact you to be a part of. You know, we got to do some, you know, some expose. So I'm going to have you on to talk about that. I know I heard on your show you had one of the attorneys that is doing the class action, and I know when he converted to a mass, I know you definitely that was one of your tools. So, you know, I said that damn LT boy, he done got him to change him a class to a mass. But, you know, yeah, I'm going to discuss some of the things. I heard it. I think it'll be informative for the people. And, you know, I'm going to have you and maybe that gentleman on maybe after Tuesday or maybe on Friday. We'll discuss it. But I definitely appreciate your input and appreciate you being here. And always, just, you know, come to the front, man. Thank you,
know,
brother.
Goes.
All right. Okay, brother. Sorry to cut you off. All right, Layla. I'm going to be on punishment. Like, I'm really over the time that I'm supposed to be here. I apologize. I was energized. I had a few days off. I was able to reset, restore, re-energize myself, charge up Thor and do some repairs and add some more steel to the hammer because I'm going to have to use it. And I appreciate y'all being here. We're going to try to shorten the calls, you know, a little bit at a time. We're going to cut it an hour short than normal, but an hour over what we had planned to do. So if Layla doesn't have any more announcements, or she does, we will be doing a couple of webinars that will be coming out this week. One of them will be this week, and we'll be doing some smaller webinars on Dunning letters and a couple single item type of violations that one may find. And that'll be an event that'll be very inexpensive, let's just say. Valuable but inexpensive. So we're going to have some smaller ones so people can have some certain violations they can look for without having to be in an extensive webinar where we go into a lot more depth on certain things. So be on the lookout for that. DebtShow@yahoo.com is the email address. Definitely be here next Tuesday. You're definitely going to want to be on that call. We're just going to really blow some things out of the water and put some things out there for the people to be mindful of. But I want to thank everybody for being here. Layla, do you have anything else? Anything else that I missed?
I just personally would like to thank Yama for being here on the call.
Indeed.
I know you brought out Maynard and Amin Ra. I want to thank you all for your the testimonies that you gave. And Brother Latif, thank you so very much for sharing that information. I'm so excited to be a consumer. I'm just I'm just so excited. You know, I'm getting all of this education in my sore head. So away we go. Love you all. Peace and blessings.
Definitely. I want to personally thank my panel, the minister's mother, Rudy, for all that she does. She does a lot outside of this show. She does ministry. She is ministry. She helps a lot of people. She don't charge anything. She helps a lot of people. Okay, help doesn't have a fee attached to it. She helps a lot of people, and definitely many of you don't know that, but she does wonders for people and deals with things that I couldn't have a bit of patience to deal with. I'm limited here at Thor, so I want to thank Layla for everything that she does. Definitely a great asset to Thor. Definitely has a good heart. Thank Lori for all the contributions she makes, researcher. She be digging up things. She be doing what she has to do. I want to thank the support of everybody out there. I want to thank everybody for the emails. I want to thank everybody for telling us to get back in action. We appreciate that.
I want to thank, first and foremost, our Creator. Whatever religious preferences you may have, you know, you always have to give thanks to the Most High and the Creator. I want to thank Latif, of course, for coming through. We want to thank everybody else who's on the call, attorneys, paralegals that are listening to the show weekly. We thank you for being here. Hopefully the information or ideas or aroma, okay, maybe not so much education, but maybe the movement that is here at Thor maybe encourages you or enlightens you in an area that allows you to be more productive in protection of the community. Again, always respect property. Property is all you have. Respect that. And other than that, I want to thank y'all. We'll see y'all more than likely. No, let me not say that. We'll see you Tuesday. All right. We'll see you Tuesday. There may be a Friday show. We don't know. Depends on how the Creator moves us. But Tuesday, we're definitely going to be here. That's going to be a powerful show. Get on that email address. There's going to be some people here that you've never heard on Thor, but it's going to be a pretty significant show. I want to thank everybody. We'll see you on next Tuesday. God bless.
Woo! Yeah. Welcome to the church, volume 2. Exclusive 213. Got my nephew, Nate Dogg, in the house. Nate Dogg, holla at him. Where you at?
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a sad girl thing. Sang about how she got her heart broke. People reaching for stars. I just want me something natural. When you're alone, it gets mighty cold. Don't act as if you did not know. She let me play with her heart. I'm working late, I said I'll soon be home. All the while the girl was on her phone. Let me tell you what she's crying for.
Why?
Cause I'm fly.
Super fly. Nate Dogg.
Oh, oh, I'm fly.
Super fly, but me, I'm super duper, and I'm super duper fly. I be the greatest, I know you waited this, and I wanted this to be your labyrinth and so strenuous. Then you just fly by and quiz, eh? You want another piss, eh? That's the way that you gon' for his, eh? I know you're feeling all hurt inside, but won't you talk to a player? Let me help out your pride. I'm like a counselor, a pastor, a priest, or a psychologist, a shrink on a freak peak. My technique, I wear mink gator boots, and I'm the rip that gets the loot. And I ain't afraid to shoot, and I love to choo-choo. Beat deep as I slide up the street. I'm from the LBC, and I don't know what y'all done heard about me, but I'm a CRIP with some PIMP too. I'm a real pimp player from the 213 crew. Now look here, boo, if you gon' bang or hang with the dog, you best to get in. Holla at her, Nate Dogg.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.